So, you have a Captain America script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And I got your email about needing this to set up the Avengers movie, so I thought we could call it Captain America: The First Avenger.
Oh, using a movie title as an ad for another movie is tight.
I thought you might like that.
Hell, let's push it even further and call it Captain America: Please Go See the Avengers When It Comes Out in Theaters.
Oh, that might be pushing it a bit far, though.
Or maybe we could call it Captain America: The Avengers Is Gonna Be So Good, You Guys.
Or maybe we could stick to Captain America: The First Avenger?
Okay, fine, but how about this, instead of having a post-credit scene, we have an actual commercial for the Avengers.
That's pretty heavy-handed, but okay.
Awesome. So what happens in the movie?
Well, this guy Steve Rogers wants to fight in World War II, but he has a bunch of health problems and he's really small.
How small are we talking?
It's gonna look like we CGI'd the head of a full-grown man onto the body of a third grader.
Oh, that sounds kind of disturbing, visually speaking.
Yeah, not gonna lie, it's gonna be pretty unsettling to look at.
Wow.
Anyway, so he goes into this training camp to see if he's a good fit to be a super soldier.
Okay.
And this Colonel decides to test the soldiers by throwing a fake grenade at them.
Oh my god.
And Steve Rogers jumps onto the grenade without any hesitation, so they're like, yeah, this is our guy.
Oh, and they're gonna have to cure his depression before he becomes a super soldier?
What?
I mean, without hesitation, he tried to kill himself.
No, it was like a bravery thing, not a I wanna die kind of thing.
Oh, my bad. I thought he was like, oh, here's my way out.
Anyway, so then we're gonna do the scientist thing from Iron Man 1.
What scientist thing from Iron Man 1?
Well, you know how in Iron Man 1, there's a kind-hearted scientist with a foreign accent who helps the hero get his powers and then dies immediately after?
Yeah.
Well, in this movie, we're gonna have a kind-hearted scientist with a foreign accent who helps the hero get his powers and then dies immediately after.
Are people gonna mind that we're doing the exact same thing again?
No, he's gonna have a different foreign accent.
Oh, okay, nobody's gonna notice then.
Right.
So then what happens?
Well, then this bad guy steals the only thing of Super Soldier Serum left. So Cap chases down his car through the streets of New York on foot, and then he dives into the water and pulls him out of a moving submarine, and he's just super powerful now.
Oh, so that Colonel must be super excited that the procedure worked.
No, he's like, I have no use for you.
He says no to a guy that chased down a car on foot and pulled a guy out of a moving submarine.
That's what we're going with.
Well, okay then.
So then Steve becomes an entertainer for like 10 minutes of runtime.
Why would we have that in the movie?
Literally just to explain why he has a silly name and a costume.
Oh, okay. And is there a villain in the film?
Yes, sir, there is. And he has pretty much the same powers as Captain America, but evil.
Oh, the bad guy has the same power set as the hero? I don't think we've done that in a Marvel movie yet.
Really?
Oh, wait, no, we have, repeatedly.
Oh, should I switch it up then?
Oh, hell no.
Well, okay.
So what's this guy's name?
His name is Red Skull.
Oh, that is a really good villain name.
Yeah, it is, but most of the time people are gonna refer to him by his given name.
What's his given name?
It's Schmidt.
Oh, that is substantially less cool.
Yeah, so anyway, he's obsessed with this thing called the Tesseract.
What's the Tesseract?
It's like this glowing blue Avengers commercial that has the power of the gods.
Wow.
We're also gonna have a love story going on between Cap and this agent Peggy Carter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's gonna be the love of his life, so it could be like a recurring thing in his movies.
Wow, so how long are they together?
Not at all, actually. They kiss once.
Oh, well, in movies, I guess a single kiss does basically mean you're in love.
True, although Cap is gonna kiss someone else in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Peggy's gonna get super mad and shoot a gun at him.
Oh my god, and this is a love story for the ages?
Yeah, it's gonna be real romantic.
If you say so.
I do.
So you said this movie takes place during the Second World War. It's gonna be hard to have Cap appear in a modern-day Avengers movie.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're just gonna have him make, you know, the most unnecessary sacrifice ever.
What do you mean?
Well, he's gonna be in a plane that has bombs in it, so he's gonna crash it into a frozen ocean.
Right, seems unnecessary to be in the plane when it crashes.
Yeah, but this way he turns into a capsicle, and at the end of the movie, we'll have him wake up in a modern-day commercial for the Avengers.
I love it.
Yeah, so, you know, you could remove that actual commercial from the post-credit scene if you want.
No, that stays.
Fair enough.
So wait, what happens to Red Skull?
Oh, well, he's gonna touch the Tesseract, and something is gonna happen.
Oh, what's gonna happen?
Like a space beam, he's gonna disappear, I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I figured I'd just do that and some future screenwriter can figure out a way to make it clever.
Okay, man, we'll try to shoehorn in an explanation somewhere down the line.
Awesome, thank you. Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you liked that pitch meeting. A lot more of these on the channel you can check out. Like a lot. You can also let me know in the comments section what other movies you'd like to see pitches for. And we did just launch a new series called Theory Battle that you can check out too. In that we go head to head with two different film theories and you guys decide in the comments section which one's the most plausible. It's pretty fun, check it out if you have a chance. And don't forget to like this video, subscribe, share it on Facebook and Twitter, you know the drill. And check back soon for a new one. Bye-bye.
So, you have an Avengers commercial for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And this one's gonna be an origin story for Captain Marvel.
Oh, wow, we've done a lot of origin stories. How are we gonna keep this fresh?
By doing our normal origin story stuff, but giving her memory loss so we can reveal it in little fragments.
Oh, that is slightly different. Plus, we'll put this one in the 90s, because, you know, so many people are dead.
Yeah, so Captain Marvel is part of this Kree alien Star Force crew.
Okay.
But she's gonna slowly come to learn that she was a fighter pilot on Earth.
It's gonna be fun for us to learn that with her.
No, we're already gonna know.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, but we're gonna get to watch her figure it out, you know, much slower than us.
I guess that's exciting.
Maybe. So anyway, Captain Marvel is in training with this Kree guy, Yon-Rogg, and he keeps telling her to stop being so emotional.
Okay, so she's like super emotional then?
Nah, she's gonna be mostly stoic the entire movie, but people are gonna keep telling her to stop being emotional.
So what's her personality like, though?
Oh, well, sometimes she makes clever remarks and then does a little smirk like this.
Oh, that should be enough personality, right?
I hope so, because that's about it.
So what actually happens in the movie?
Oh, well, these Kree aliens are at war with these shape-shifting aliens called the Skrulls.
Okay.
And we're gonna meet this Skrull commander, Talos.
And what's his deal?
Oh, well, he's green and for some reason Australian.
Oh, being inexplicably Australian is tight.
Yeah, and he's like taking the form of the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something.
So what happened to the old director?
Unclear.
Huh.
Anyway, so Captain Marvel's gonna end up landing on Earth and the Skrulls are gonna chase her.
Uh-oh.
Then at the same time, she's trying to figure out her origin story, so her and Nick Fury go see Maria Rambeau, who might have a past with her.
Oh, Nick Fury, that's fun. That's gonna cost us so much in de-aging.
And Rambeau is like, yeah, we were best friends and pilots together, and it kinda sucks that you don't remember.
But that does kinda suck.
And then Talos shows up.
Oh, no, the Australian.
Oh, don't worry. He's like, hey, we're good guys, so please do a 180 on this immediately, okay?
And she does.
And she does.
Wow, and Rambeau must be freaking out to find out that aliens exist.
She'll barely react to it.
Huh.
Yeah, she'll see a Skrull outside that's taking her form and playing with her daughter, and she'll be like, well, that's kind of weird. Let's move on.
Very considerate of her to not react so we could keep the story moving.
Yeah, very considerate.
Wow.
So then Captain Marvel has to get ready to fight the Kree, so she has to change her costume colors.
Why does she need to do that?
So we can sell different versions of her toys.
Oh, I love you so much.
Yeah, and she has a little panel on her arm that lets her do that for some reason, so she lets Rambo's daughter pick the colors.
Isn't the kid gonna have a hard time figuring out alien graphic design technology?
Not even a little bit.
Oh.
And then we're gonna have these flashbacks from Captain Marvel's life where she's dealing with tough situations and mean guys.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, just this amazing montage where she gets knocked down, but she gets up again. You know, they're never gonna keep her down.
Oh, does she drink a whiskey drink and then a vodka drink and then a lager drink and then a cider drink?
What the hell are you talking about?
Actually, this is making me think we should put a bunch of 90s music in this thing.
Yeah, I guess we could, but let's not overdo it.
No, let's overdo it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's get real heavy-handed with it. Let's even play Just a Girl from No Doubt during the final fight scene.
Oh, very unsubtle.
Yeah, super on the nose. It's gonna be great.
Anyway, so yeah, then she's gonna have to fight the Kree.
Wow, is it gonna be difficult for her to take them on?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she just kinda taps into her full power and, you know, becomes the most powerful hero we've ever seen.
What was her power set before that?
Like, photon blasts or something?
Very vague.
Yeah, kind of.
And what are her powers now?
Oh, just, you know, all of them.
Well, okay then.
Oh, we're also gonna kind of find out that she got her powers because of the Tesseract. Remember that?
Now, are people that haven't seen the previous MCU films gonna understand what that is?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just kidding. We stopped caring about those people like 5 years ago.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering why you brought them up.
Anyway, I think it sounds good, but it could be more entertaining, you know?
Did I mention there's a cat?
You didn't?
Yeah, there's a cat named Goose.
Okay.
So, you know, there you go. That makes everything more entertaining.
Well, I don't know that just having a cat show up automatically increases the entertainment factor.
Sure it does. Check this out.
Oh, it's a kitty cat!
Yeah, see, everything's more entertaining now.
Oh, wow, what a great day this turned out to be.
Wait, where were you keeping that?
Anyway, so this cat is actually a powerful alien.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah, and he's gonna scratch Nick Fury, and that's how he loses the eye. I feel like that really undermines the badass nature of the character.
Yeah, but it's gonna be funny.
That is more important.
And so then Captain Marvel is gonna modify Fury's pager and be like, only contact me in case of emergency.
Oh, okay, and that's why he knew to call her at the end of Infinity War?
Exactly.
So that means that aliens invading New York was not an emergency?
Guess not.
And a super sophisticated AI trying to take over the world wasn't?
wasn't an emergency either?
No, both those situations were not a big deal, apparently.
Huh.
Oh, also, Nick Fury finds out that her nickname was Avenger, because there's a photo that says Carol Avenger Danvers.
Okay.
And so that gives him an idea of a name for a new initiative he's working on.
Oh.
You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Carol Initiative.
No, the Avengers Initiative.
Oh, right, that makes more sense.
So yeah, now fans are gonna finally know where that name came from.
Were fans wondering that?
No.
Well, okay then.
And so, yeah, that's about it.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I hope people don't get too mad.
Why would people get mad?
Because this character's a lady and the internet exists?
It's just a superhero movie. I don't see how people could get upset about this.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. Hope you like that pitch meeting. There are over 100 pitch meetings on the channel, so check some of those out. You can also let me know in the comment section what other movies you'd like to see pitch meetings for. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share on Twitter, Facebook, all the stuff that helps out a lot. As always, check back soon for a new pitch. Bye-bye.
So you have a script for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
So we're gonna follow Tony Stark, who's a billionaire playboy weapons manufacturer.
Oh, a playboy, huh?
Yeah, and towards the beginning of the movie, this reporter, Christine Everhart, is really gonna challenge him on the ethics of selling weapons.
Oh, well, that's good, because sometimes when there's a playboy character in movies, there's a tendency to objectify women and get kind of...
And then Tony's gonna bang her.
Oh, he is.
And then Tony's assistant, Pepper, is gonna call her trash and kick her out of the house.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's gonna be hilarious.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, Tony's gonna go to Afghanistan to show off a new weapon called the Jericho to the U.S. military.
Sounds like something they could do in the U.S. There's lots of weapons testing facilities.
Yeah, well, they're gonna do it in Afghanistan because I need it for the story.
Fair enough.
So later, he's gonna be in a convoy that's gonna get attacked by terrorists.
Uh-oh.
And one of his own missiles is gonna blow up in his face.
That's not good.
And so then he's gonna be held captive by the terrorists, and he's gonna have this thing in his chest that's using a car battery to power a magnet to keep a piece of shrapnel from entering his heart.
I have to say, it sounds like you pinned him in a situation that's gonna be impossible to get out of.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, the terrorists want him to build them a Jericho missile, so they give him a bunch of weapons materials and mostly leave him alone.
Well, that sounds super reckless.
They also leave him with the doctor guy that saved his life, who's like the nicest dude.
But there's a guard in the room or something, right?
No, they are kinda keeping an eye on things through a security camera, though.
Why not have a guard in the room keeping an eye on things?
Because.
That works.
Anyway, so since Tony Stark has a bunch of weapon building material and little to no supervision and a new best friend to help him out, he's gonna build a kind of Iron Man suit powered by a mini arc reactor.
A mini arc reactor?
Yeah, it's like a super powerful energy source to power the magnet so he doesn't have to carry a car battery around.
Wow.
Yeah, and the doctor guy is gonna be like, whoa, this thing could run your heart for like 50 lifetimes.
Wait, is the thing running Tony's heart or powering
It's powering the magnet.
So why would that guy say that?
I don't know.
What a strange guy.
Yeah. So anyway, Tony's gonna kill a bunch of terrorists and there's gonna be fire and explosions.
How's Tony able to see out of the suit?
Well, the mask has some pretty massive eye holes.
And the fires and explosions don't roast his eyeballs?
They do not.
Oh, fireproof eyeballs are tight.
Yeah, so then Tony's gonna go back to the US, and the first thing he does is go to...
Go to Burger King.
Well, actually, I was thinking he could go to...
No, I'm telling you that the first thing he does is go to Burger King. I already cashed a check from them.
Oh, it's a product placement thing. Okay, what does he get from Burger King?
A cheeseburger and probably diarrhea, if we're being honest.
I'll add it into the script. Probably just the cheeseburger part, though.
So what does he do after that?
Well, now he's changed and he wants to do good, so he announces that his company's not gonna make weapons anymore.
Won't that jeopardize the entire company and cause hundreds of people to lose their jobs?
Probably.
Kind of weird that his first good act is gonna destroy hundreds of families.
Whoops. Whoopsie. So anyway, then Tony's gonna build himself a really good Iron Man suit.
Okay.
And he's gonna have a hard time getting it to fly, but eventually he's gonna get the hang of it.
And what does he do with it?
Well, he goes to kill people and then accidentally blows up a US fighter jet.
This guy kinda sucks.
Kinda.
Wow, and who else is in the movie?
We're also gonna have this guy, Obadiah Stane.
Oh, so he's the bad guy?
How could you tell?
Well, his name is Obadiah Stane, so I figured he's either a bad guy or a general in the American Civil War.
Well, it's the first one.
That does make the most sense.
So anyway, Obadiah works on building his own Iron Man-type suit.
So you're saying the bad guy has similar powers as the hero, but uses them for evil?
Exactly.
Okay, before you say anything else, I love that, and I wanna do it over and over again in any movies
we make.
Won't that get kind of repetitive?
I don't know.
Well, okay then.
So what else happens?
Well, Obadiah can't figure out the mini arc reactor thing, so he paralyzes Tony and steals his.
Uh-oh, is he gonna kill him?
No, he's gonna explain his evil plan to him and then leave him for dead.
Why wouldn't he just kill him, though?
Because there has to be a final fight.
Fair enough.
So then there's gonna be a final fight.
Right.
And Obadiah's a really good fighter, so it's super tough for Tony.
Didn't we have a whole thing where it takes Tony a while to figure out how to use the suit properly?
Yeah, well, Obadiah's gonna get the hang of it immediately.
Wow.
So then they're gonna have a crazy public fight, and Obadiah's gonna throw cars around and stuff.
What's his plan here, exactly?
Well, I guess it's to murder Tony in a very public way and hope that solves all his problems.
Doesn't seem like it would.
Yeah, it's not the best plan.
Huh.
So anyway, Tony's gonna fly so high up that Obadiah's suit freezes, and he's gonna fall all the way back down to Earth.
Wow, so he dies?
No, he's completely fine.
How?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So then Tony's gonna get Pepper to overload this giant arc reactor thing so it blows up and kills Obadiah.
Wouldn't that also kill Tony?
It would and it should, but it won't.
Very lucky.
And so yeah, that's about it.
Wow.
So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like a pretty fun superhero movie.
Okay.
So yeah, I say let's give it a shot. I doubt it'll lead to anything huge, but we can give it a try.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you liked that pitch meeting. You can let me know in the comments section what other movies you'd like to see pitches for. Also, if you liked it, please do give it a like, maybe share it on Facebook and Twitter. There are also a lot of these videos on the channel that you can check out. And as always, check back soon for a new one. Bye-bye. So, you have an Iron Man sequel script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So, you know how everyone loved the first Iron Man movie?
I mean, yeah, that's why we're talking right now.
That's a very good point. Anyway, I asked myself, how can we make people like this movie like 5 times more than that one?
Oh yeah? What'd you come up with?
Well, I figure we could take what should probably be like 5 separate Iron Man movies and cram them all into one.
Are you worried it's gonna feel disjointed and all over the place?
Well, to be honest, at first I was worried, but then I was like, I'm hungry, and I went to get a burrito and completely forgot about it.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
So what are all these storylines we're gonna be following?
Well, there's one about the government wanting to get their hands on Tony's technology. There's another about Tony's competitor, Justin Hammer, trying to replicate his tech.
There's a whole thing where Tony has daddy issues.
There's a thing about him handing the company over to Pepper Potts, and also he's in love with her. Then there's a bad Russian guy that's trying to kill him, and then there's a whole thing about Tony slowly being killed by his own suit.
That should definitely be more than one movie.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a real cram fest.
And you said Tony's being killed by his suit?
Yeah, he's being poisoned by the arc reactor thing in his chest.
The arc reactor that's powering the magnet keeping shrapnel out of his heart?
Yeah, so he's gotta figure something out or he's gonna die.
I mean, why doesn't he just swap that out for another non-toxic power source? He literally had that thing running on a car battery in the first movie.
Well, the arc reactor also powers the suit, so I guess he wouldn't be Iron Man without it.
Oh, so the arc reactor has to be inside his chest cavity for the suit to work?
Well, no, because Rhodey is able to put on a suit later, and he doesn't have an arc reactor in his chest cavity.
So it seems like Tony has a pretty easy solution here.
Yeah, well, eventually he is gonna solve it.
Oh, how does he do that?
By synthesizing a new element.
What?
Yeah, it turns out his dad had discovered a new element, and so he hid the plans for it in a diorama so that his son could decipher it in the future.
Seems overly complicated.
Oh yeah, it's super complicated and way over the top.
But he ends up figuring it out?
Yeah, but when he discovers the plans, Jarvis is like, bad news, Tony, this element is impossible to synthesize.
Oh, so what does Tony do?
He immediately does it.
But how?
By being smart and doing it.
Why even mention that it's impossible to do if we're just gonna have him do it immediately?
Because it's dramatic.
If you say so.
I do. So anyway, there's also this bad guy named Whiplash.
Oh, what's his deal?
Well, Tony's dad completely ruined his dad's life, so he wants to kill Tony.
Okay.
So he builds an arc reactor of his own and makes these crazy whip things.
Is he not able to make anything better than whips?
Oh no, he definitely is, but his villain name is Whiplash.
Oh, so he has to make whips at least once in the movie.
Exactly.
Very smart.
Anyway, so he goes to this race in Monaco and just starts chopping up cars with his whips.
What's his plan here?
To kill Tony.
How's he supposed to do that by chopping up race cars?
Well, at the last minute before the race, Tony actually got into one of the cars.
Oh, how did Whiplash know he was gonna do that?
He didn't. It was completely spur of the moment.
So what was his plan to kill Tony if he hadn't gotten into a car randomly?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so then Happy Hogan is gonna have to rush to bring Tony his suit.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so he's gonna have to drive against traffic on the racetrack
track. But before he leaves, he's like, come on, Pepper, come sit in the back seat. Why would he bring her on that insanely dangerous mission?
So she can be there.
But anyway, so then they're gonna ram into Whiplash with their car.
But I'm guessing his armor blocks the damage.
Oh, he doesn't have armor.
What?
Yeah, no, he's like practically bare-chested.
Well, then why didn't any security guards shoot him or something?
I don't know. I guess they were busy with other stuff.
Huh, busy day at the racetrack.
Anyway, so then Happy's gonna ram his car into Whiplash like 4 times.
So Whiplash dies?
No, because when cars ram into people, it doesn't do any damage to the human body.
Oh, learning new stuff about cars is tight. I'm gonna go play in traffic right after this meeting.
Well, I can't recommend that enough. That's gonna be awesome.
Oh yeah, it is.
So anyway, Justin Hammer is gonna hire Whiplash to make some tech, but he's gonna end up making a bunch of drones and an Iron Man suit of his own.
Oh, so there's gonna be a final battle where Tony fights someone who also has a suit?
That's right.
Didn't we do that in the last movie?
Yeah.
Well, people did like that movie, so I guess it makes sense to do it again.
My thoughts exactly.
So how does Tony bring him down?
Well, Whiplash opens his helmet mid-fight for no reason, so Tony and Rhodey are able to blast him and do some serious damage.
Wow, super nice of him to expose a huge weak spot in the middle of a fight to the death.
Yeah, it's definitely helpful of him to do that.
Now, I don't quite understand what Whiplash's personality is supposed to be.
Well, he's Russian, and also he has a bird.
That's it?
Pretty much.
I love it.
Great.
Also, I hate to do this, but we kind of have to hype up the Avengers in this movie. Is there something you can shoehorn in there?
Are you asking me to shove another story thread into this movie?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Well, hell yeah, I can. Super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll toss Black Widow in there.
What's she gonna do?
She's gonna be there.
That is great.
I can also have Nick Fury show up. Maybe they're assessing if Tony's good for the Avengers.
Well, let's not get too ahead of ourselves here.
Oh, well, at the end, I'll have him be like, you know what? We don't want you on the team, but you could be a consultant.
Oh, wow. So there's not gonna be any payoff to the story thread in this movie. I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna be a huge tease that's only gonna pay off in a couple of years.
I love the sound of that. We should do something like that in every movie.
Sounds good to me.
Great.
So you're cool with the script?
Yeah, it sounds great. I'm sure everyone's gonna be really pumped to come back for the sequel.
Oh yeah, why wouldn't they be?
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you like that pitch.
If there are other movies you'd like to see pitches for, let me know in the comments section below. And if you like this one, you could give it a like, maybe a comment, share it on Facebook and Twitter, and check back soon for a new one. Bye-bye now.
So, you have a Hulk script for me.
Yes, sir, I do. And since a Hulk movie came out just a couple of years ago, we're gonna speed through all the origin stuff and just have him start out in hiding.
Oh, so this is a sequel?
Yeah, except all the actors and the style and the tone and a bunch of story elements are all different now.
So it's like a reboot?
Except it kind of picks up where the last one left off.
So it's like a re-quill?
Or a C-boot?
Or like a C-re?
What was that?
Oh, Apple is letting me test run some of their new software. No thank you, Siri.
So anyway, yeah, Bruce has been hiding out in Brazil and trying to avoid hulking out.
So he stays away from commotion and tries to remain calm?
Exactly.
Very smart.
And he also gets a job in a chaotic factory jam-packed with aggressive people.
What?
We're also gonna see him do a bunch of exciting stuff like shirtless yoga and shirtless breathing exercises.
Watching people breathe is tight.
Oh yeah, and that's an activity you can do pretty much anywhere.
I like watching people breathe while they sleep.
Oh, that's super creepy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so some bad guys want to track down the Hulk so they can weaponize him.
That kind of sounds like the bad guy's motivation in the Iron Man movie we're working on.
Oh, should I change it?
It's probably fine. I mean, there's gonna be a time gap between the release of the two films, so people won't mind.
How big of a gap?
1 month?
That should do it.
Great.
Anyway, so a bunch of soldiers are gonna shoot at the Hulk, but he's like bulletproof, so it doesn't do anything.
Oh, so they realize that the guns are pointless and it's useless to shoot him with them?
No, they're gonna keep shooting at him with bullets throughout the entire movie. They don't learn a thing.
Wow, huge waste of ammo. But what are they gonna do, not shoot him?
So anyway, the entire movie's gonna be Bruce trying to avoid being captured by the military.
Isn't that kind of what happened in the first Hulk movie? People thought that was kind of drawn out and boring.
Yeah, people did say that movie was kind of long, but this one's gonna be shorter.
Oh, how much shorter are we talking?
3 minutes.
Oh, fantastic.
Anyway, we're also gonna do a thing where Bruce wants to go visit his girlfriend at a university, but everyone's on high alert because the military knows he might try to get in touch with her.
Oh, wow, so it's gonna be tough for him to sneak in there.
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just gives pizza to 2 different guys and that solves all his problems.
Using pizza for stealth purposes is my third favorite way to use pizza.
We're also gonna have a scene where Bruce is about to bang, but he has to stop himself because if he gets too aroused, he'll turn into the Hulk.
Wow, feels pretty unnecessary to include that.
Oh yeah, it's super unnecessary, and we're gonna make everyone picture an aroused Hulk.
Oh, I hate that that image is in my brain right now.
Yeah, it burns.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, we're gonna have a bad guy turn into a bad version of the Hulk, and they're gonna have
have a big CGI fight.
Well, that is exactly what we're gonna do in the Iron Man movie.
Wow, thank God they're coming out a month apart.
Well, actually, I think the bad guy with similar powers thing is gonna be something that's gonna come back a lot in the MCU.
Great.
So what else happens?
Well, some of Bruce's blood is gonna fall into the open wound of this scientist guy, and he's gonna start to transform into a monster too.
Oh, where's that gonna go?
Nowhere.
But like in a sequel or something?
Not even.
Well, okay then.
And at the end, we're gonna have a thing where Bruce is meditating again.
So fun to watch.
And then he's gonna open his eyes and look directly into the camera, and his eyes are green, and he's gonna smile.
Why?
Because movies do that sometimes.
But what does it mean? Can he control the powers now?
Maybe, I don't know. Movies do this, though.
How did that happen?
Look, I just want the main character to look directly into the camera and smile. We don't have to overthink it.
Well, okay then.
So what do you think?
It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know how anyone could dislike this script.
Well, great!
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch meeting. Let me know in the comments section what other movies you'd like to see pitches for.
We also have a ton of these on the channel that you could binge watch.
You could also share them on Facebook and Twitter. That helps us out a lot.
And if you haven't already, check out our new series, Theory Battle. In that, we have two theories go head to head and you guys decide which one's the most plausible.
And as always, check back soon for a new pitch.
Bye-bye.
So, you have a Thor script for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
That sounds like it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be fine.
Oh?
Yeah, like it's gonna be alright.
Well, okay, I guess that'll have to do.
Great. So the movie follows Thor, who's supposed to become the next king of Asgard.
Oh, Asgards are tight. They make it a lot less painful when you fall on your butt.
That's not at all what I meant, though.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
So what kind of Asgard are you talking about?
It's like a giant church organ where gods live and it has a rainbow shooting out of it.
Wow, I can't wait for our team to generate that. So what's the movie actually about?
Well, everything kind of stems from the fact that Thor's dad, Odin, is a horrible father.
How's that?
Well, when his sons are young, he's like, you're both great and destined to be kings, but only one of you can be king, so good luck with that.
Oh, pretty much guaranteeing that one of them's gonna become a villain.
Yeah, and Thor's brother, Loki, is actually a frost giant, and Odin adopted him when he was a baby, but never told him about it.
What are frost giants?
They're these giant blue creatures that have ice powers and stuff.
So Loki is blue and giant, but he never realized he was adopted?
No, he's pale and tiny, but he does turn kind of blue when he gets mad sometimes.
Oh, he's like a crappy discount version of the Hulk.
Yeah.
So what happens in the movie?
Well, Thor decides to attack the frost giants. So his dad gets mad and takes away his powers and casts him out to Earth.
Okay.
And he puts a spell on his magical hammer and says that only somebody that's worthy can wield it.
Oh, so he's gonna try to find another Asgardian that's worthy?
Nah, he's gonna toss it down to Earth too.
What?
Yeah, he's like, things will work themselves out, I guess.
This guy is pretty awful.
Yeah, I'm just using him to drive the plot forward, so he does some pretty nonsensical stuff.
So what happens with Thor on Earth?
Well, he meets this scientist, Jane Foster, and she thinks he might be a crazy person.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but anyway, they're gonna fall madly in love in just a couple of days.
Why?
Well, they have a lot in common. They're both single and attractive.
Oh, that's the basis of any strong relationship.
Yeah, so at the end of the movie, Thor's gonna get his powers back, so Jane's gonna see that he's not crazy. He's actually a god.
Wow, how does she react when she finds out?
Well, how would you react if you just found out that gods exist?
Well, we're talking about a complete reshaping of the world's religious beliefs, so I guess I'd be like, oh my god.
Yeah, about the same level of enthusiasm as if you just found out that Pizza Hut's having a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's pretty much how Jane reacts.
Very appropriate reaction.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, just by the way, one of our tripods has a broken leg, so I hope it's cool if like half the shots in the movie are kind of tilted sideways.
You really can't just get a new tripod?
Well, we're just starting out with this cinematic universe. We can't be wasting money on stuff like that.
All right, well, I guess we'll just really lean into the Dutch angle and hope that people's necks don't hurt by the end of the movie.
Fantastic.
So anyway, while Thor is on Earth, Loki is hatching an elaborate plan to win his father's approval.
Oh, how does he plan on doing that?
By killing the frost giants.
Wasn't trying to fight the frost giants the whole reason that Odin kicked Thor out?
That's right.
So why does Loki think that would work?
I don't know.
Fair enough, but does it work though?
Obviously not, because he didn't want that.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anything else I should know about the movie?
Oh, Hawkeye is gonna be there.
Oh yeah, what's he gonna do?
I just told you.
He's gonna be there?
Yes.
Is he gonna shoot an arrow?
No.
Well, okay then.
Anyway, so at the end of the movie, Thor's gonna save the day by destroying the Rainbow Bridge.
Actually, we're gonna need Thor back on Earth for the Avengers next year.
What are you saying?
It's just that if the climax of this movie is him destroying his only way back to Earth, it's gonna be hard to explain how he gets back.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the Avengers, we could just be like, he came back with dark magic or something.
That's pretty vague.
Yeah, super vague.
Also, it kind of undercuts the whole ending of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it kind of does. Oh, well, how about we do it anyway?
Oh, I love it.
Great. So what do you think of the movie?
Well, I mean, it has gods, magic, action. I think it has the potential to be the strongest Marvel trilogy we ever make.
Wow.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you liked that pitch meeting. A lot more of these on the channel that you can check out. You can also let me know in the comments section what other movies you'd like to see pitches for. Give it a like, maybe share it on Facebook and Twitter. And we also just recently launched a new series called Theory Battle. In that, we go head-to-head with two different film theories, and you guys decide in the comments section which one of them is the most plausible. It's a lot of fun, maybe check it out. And as always, check back soon for a new pitch meeting. Bye-bye.
So you have a new superhero script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And it's kind of a sequel to all the movies we've done so far. So there's Captain America, Iron Man, Thor.
Oh yeah, Thor's the one where we shot like half his movie in Dutch angles, right?
Yeah, what was up with that? Was the tripod broken or something?
One of the tripod legs was broken, that's right.
I thought so.
So who else is there?
Well, in terms of superheroes, there's also Hulk, there's Spider-Man, there's—
Nope, not him.
What?
We can't have Spider-Man in there.
Oh, how come?
Well, we don't have the rights to the character.
Ah, crap, that's right.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we're never, ever, 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 ever gonna see Spider-Man in a Marvel Studios movie.
You all right?
What's up?
You had like a weird eye twitch or something. You have something in your eye?
Yes.
There was also a bell noise or something.
So what happens in the movie?
Well, there's a magic box called the Tesseract that's misbehaving, and so S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to figure out why. And they're trying everything. I mean, they poke it with a stick and stuff.
Oh, poking it with a stick doesn't help?
Not at all. And then a portal opens up, and out comes the big scary threat of the movie.
Is it a spooky skeleton?
Nope.
Because that'd be scary.
Yeah, but it's not a spooky skeleton. It's actually Loki.
Loki from the Tilty Thor movie? I thought that movie ended with him killing himself by jumping into some kind of spatial abyss.
Yeah, he's fine now.
Oh, that didn't kill him?
No, and that's something I'd actually really like to start pushing in Marvel movies.
That nobody ever actually dies?
That's right.
I like it, so how does he survive?
Oh, we're barely gonna explain it.
Works for me.
So then Loki uses a scepter to mind control Erik Selvig, the scientist from the Tilty Thor movie, and also Hawkeye.
Hawkeye?
Oh yeah, he actually ends up being one of the Avengers.
What are his superpowers?
Oh, he's awesome. He shoots arrows. Very well.
Yeah, what else?
That's about it.
Oh.
But sometimes the arrows explode, and sometimes they have computer viruses.
He shoots computer virus arrows?
Yeah, sure, I don't know.
All right.
So basically, Loki wants to use the Tesseract to open a portal so his alien army could come through.
Where's he get an alien army?
When he was floating in space, he met this guy named The Other who works for this other guy, Thanos.
Thanos?
Yeah, we're actually gonna have a mid-credit scene where he shows up.
Oh, is he like the upcoming villain or something?
Exactly.
Amazing.
In 6 years.
What?
Anyway, so Nick Fury's like, uh-oh, stuff is crazy. I'm gonna move forward with the Avengers Initiative.
And what does that mean exactly?
It means they're gonna invite Bruce Banner, Tony Stark, and Steve Rogers to come hang out.
That's his plan?
Yeah, he figures if he could get them all in the same room, that'll kind of fix everything.
Huh.
Also, Natasha Romanoff from Iron Man 2 is there.
Oh, Black Widow's in this.
Yeah, so once again, she's gonna be in very tight leather, but this time doing even more action scenes.
Oh, I bet that's gonna be uncomfortable for her.
Oh yeah, I'd say so.
So what else happens?
Well, Loki's gonna get captured by the Avengers, but then Thor is gonna show up and try to take him.
How does Thor get back to Earth? Didn't he destroy the only way back at the end of his film?
Yeah, we're barely gonna explain that.
Gotcha. Well, I guess it's good that Thor's there now because they can get Jane Foster to help out.
Why would they do that?
Well, her and Erik Selvig are kind of the authorities on portal science, so if anyone can help out, it's her.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea, but instead of doing that, they're gonna send her off to an island or something.
Oh.
Yeah, she's not even in this movie. It's more of a let's solve things with punching kind of movie.
Gotcha.
So anyway, Thor and Iron Man and Captain America get into a fight over Loki.
And so he escapes?
No, he just kind of stands around and waits for them to finish up.
Oh, doesn't that make them suspicious? That means he clearly wants to get captured.
Yeah, but they still bring him onto the helicarrier thing.
Huh.
So then it turns out that Loki's plan is to turn Bruce Banner into the Hulk.
Oh, well, I guess Bruce wouldn't be stupid enough to get on an airplane if there was any danger of him turning.
Well, to be fair, S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't tell him he was gonna be on a plane.
What? Why?
Because it was a fun little surprise. They were like, guess what? This boat's actually a plane. Whoa.
That seems wildly irresponsible.
Oh yeah.
Huh.
And then Loki kills this agent Phil Coulson.
Oh, but you said people don't actually die.
Yeah, no, I was thinking he could come back for like a spin-off TV show or something.
I love it.
So now that Agent Coulson is dead, they have something to avenge, and so they become
the Avengers.
That's right.
The awesome thing about that is that that's the title of the movie.
And so then a generic alien army come through the portal, and the Avengers punch them for 30 minutes.
Punching is tight.
Yeah, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, let's nuke the city.
What?
They immediately resort to nukes, I don't know.
Seems drastic.
Oh yeah, so then Tony takes the nuke into space and blows up the mothership, which he knew was there for some reason.
Amazing.
And so then all the aliens die all at once.
Why?
Well, the ship blew up.
Why does that affect them?
Because.
Okay.
And so... yeah.
But the portal is still open, right? Is that gonna be hard to close down?
No, actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
What do you mean?
Yeah, well, when Eric Selvig was, like, totally brainwashed, he built in a failsafe, so they just have to poke it with Loki's scepter.
How did he manage to do that if he was totally brainwashed?
Oh, we're not gonna explain that.
Huh.
So what do you think?
Well, it sounds really cool.
Yeah.
But I think that this many superheroes is kinda crazy.
Yeah, I guess, kind of.
So in future Marvel movies, let's maybe not go so nuts on the characters?
Absolutely. We'll tone it down a notch. Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you like that pitch meeting. There are a lot more on the channel, so be sure to check those out. And let me know what other movies or TV shows I should do pitches for. You could also subscribe to the channel. There's a button for that. And you could also check out ScreenRant.com for the latest movie and TV news. Thanks for watching, guys. Check in next Saturday for a new pitch.
So, you have an Iron Man 3 script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And Tony's been spending his time since the Avengers movie building a whole bunch of Iron Man suits.
Oh, that's what the fans want to see.
Oh, yeah, and he's gonna build a bunch of different kinds of suits, too.
Amazing.
And then we're barely gonna see them in action.
Oh, is he mainly gonna stick to his normal armor?
No, he's barely gonna wear Iron Man armor at all.
He's not.
No, he's mostly gonna be running around having panic attacks and crying.
Wow, that doesn't sound like Iron Man at all.
Yeah, well, I like to subvert expectations, you know, so people buy tickets expecting Iron Man and instead they get PTSD Tony.
And you think people are gonna enjoy that?
It doesn't matter if they enjoyed it. What matters is that I subverted their expectations.
Well, okay then.
So.
And is there a bad guy in the movie?
Oh, well, we're gonna have this terrorist guy called the Mandarin.
Oh, the Mandarin, as in Iron Man's greatest foe from the comics?
That's the one.
Well, fans have been waiting to see him hit the big screen for years.
Yes, exactly. So what we're gonna do is subvert their expectations.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they're gonna think this guy's some amazing villain, then halfway through we're gonna be like, oh no, he's just some dumb actor guy.
Maybe people would prefer to actually see the Mandarin, though.
It doesn't matter, because their expectations are gonna get subverted.
It feels like people are gonna get mad.
You can't be surprised and angry at the same time. It's scientifically impossible.
Oh, it is.
Maybe. I'm not a scientist.
Well, okay then.
So
what actually happens in the movie?
Well, you know how in The Incredibles the bad guy becomes a villain because the superhero guy was mean to him a bunch of years ago?
Yeah.
Well, I figured we could do something like that.
What do you mean by something like that?
I mean exactly that.
Why would we do that same storyline again?
Because people love The Incredibles.
Oh, that's a good point. The Incredibles is tight, and it made a lot of money, which is also tight, so there's a lot of tightness going around. I enjoy that.
Exactly.
So who's this bad guy and how was Tony mean to him?
His name is Aldrich Killian and Tony told him he was gonna meet him on a roof in 20 minutes and then he didn't show up.
And that was enough to turn him into a villain?
Oh yeah, plus he said he thought about killing himself when Tony didn't show up.
Oh my god.
And Tony had a one-night stand with this girl Maya that same night and then she also turned evil.
People were really taking stuff personally that night, huh?
Oh yeah, really sensitive people.
Wow.
Anyway, so Killian and Maya put together this program called Extremis. And this thing basically lets people regrow limbs and heat up and heal and shoot fire and stuff.
Okay.
But also sometimes they explode, so it's bad.
Yeesh, so what's their plan here?
Well, Killian wants to kill the president.
Why?
Because Killian's a bad guy and killing the president is a thing that bad guys do in movies sometimes.
Gotcha, and what else happens?
Well, out of nowhere, Tony goes on TV and invites international terrorists to his house.
Oh wow, so I bet he goes home and prepares for battle.
No, he goes home and doesn't do anything at all.
What?
Yeah, and then his place gets attacked by helicopters and he's all surprised.
But he told them to come.
Yeah, so he has a hard time fighting them because the only suit he has available is a prototype that's not even combat ready.
What is going on right now?
The action is gonna look cool, so I'm hoping people don't realize how ridiculous the setup for it is.
Oh, it's gonna look cool. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, so anyway, at the end of the movie, there's gonna be this big fight between Tony and Killian.
Oh man, it's gonna be hard for Tony to protect himself against a guy who can breathe fire.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh really?
Yeah, Killian can breathe fire, but he doesn't use that in the fight at all.
Why not?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
Also, Tony's gonna have like 30 remote-controlled Iron Man suits fighting by his side.
He has 30 remote-controlled suits?
Yeah.
So why would he even go there physically?
Because it's the big final fight, so he has to be there.
Seems pretty reckless.
Yeah, and we're also gonna have Pepper fall off a crane.
Oh, so she's gonna die?
No, luckily Killian gave her superpowers for some reason, so not only does she not die, but she comes back and kills him.
That is lucky.
Yeah, so anyway, then Tony blows up all his suits because he's like, we're not gonna need those again.
Well, I mean, in the next Avengers
Avengers movie, he is gonna need them. Yeah, after the movie's over, we're gonna pretend like none of this happened, so it's cool.
Hey, where were the Avengers in this movie? How come they didn't help with anything?
Yeah, I know, right?
But why didn't they?
That's what I wanna know. Like, hey, could've used some help here, guys. So is there a good reason, or... There better be, if you ask me.
Okay, never mind.
Great, so what do you think of the movie? Do you think it's gonna do well?
Is it gonna have Iron Man on the poster?
Yeah.
It'll do fine.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you like that pitch meeting. A lot more of these on the channel that you could check out. You could also let me know in the comments section what other movies you'd like to see these pitches for. We're just slowly working our way through every movie in existence. Also on the channel, we have a new show called Theory Battle you guys could check out. In that, we go head-to-head with two different film theories, and you guys decide in the comments section which one of them is the most plausible. It's a lot of fun. Definitely check it out. Don't forget to hit that like button, that subscribe button, share on Facebook and Twitter, all those things. And as always, check back soon for a new pitch. Bye-bye.
So, you have a Thor sequel script for me.
Yes, sir, I do. And you know how the first movie started with Odin narrating over a flashback of a big war between Asgardians and an evil race over some magical artifact?
Oh, so you're gonna mix that up a bit, start it differently?
No, I'm gonna do that again.
Oh, you are!
Except this time, instead of frost giants, it's dark elves, and the magical thing is called the Aether.
Well, I guess that's slightly different from the first movie.
Oh yeah, slightly different from the first movie's the name of the game here.
Nice.
Yeah, like we're gonna do that thing again where a major plot point involves Thor going against his dad's wishes to take on an enemy.
But it's not the same enemy, so it's slightly different.
Exactly.
Amazing.
So anyway, we're gonna meet up with Thor, and he's gonna be all sad and mopey.
Oh, that's interesting. It's like, hey, what if Thor was less fun as a character?
Right, so yeah, he's all bummed out because he misses Jane.
But wait, wasn't he just on Earth for the Avengers movie?
Yeah.
If she's all he can think about, you'd think he would've reached out to her or something.
Yeah, he was just so busy, you know, there was no time.
He went out for shawarma.
Yeah, just super busy.
And didn't they only spend like a couple of days together several years ago?
Yeah, but the bond they created is strong and eternal.
What if Natalie Portman doesn't come back for another movie in the future?
Well, we'll just have them break up. It's no big deal.
Great. Yeah. So how does she get involved in this movie?
Well, we're gonna have her happen to be the one human on Earth to stumble upon a portal, which then happens to bring her right next to the Aether, which happens to take over her body, which then makes her integral to the plot.
Wow, that is a real stretch.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I hear stretching is actually really good for you.
That's a good point. Stretching is tight, especially when your muscles are feeling tight.
Anyway, so because she kind of activated the Aether, this dark elf Malekith wakes up from hypersleep.
Oh, what's his deal?
Well, there's this convergence thing happening where all the nine realms align, so he wants to use the Aether to plunge them all into darkness.
Why?
Because he's evil.
Why is he evil?
He's not very nice.
How come, though?
He's the bad guy.
Oh, that's as deep as this goes, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a big meanie, just a real bully.
So who else is in the movie?
Oh, well, Darcy the intern's gonna be in the movie again, and now she has an intern too.
Why?
Because he's like a sidekick.
Isn't she already a sidekick?
Yeah, so adding another one's like an extra layer of comedy.
Is it?
Maybe. I don't know how these things work.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so then the whole story's helped along by the fact that Heimdall is horrible at his job.
What do you mean?
Well, his whole thing is that he sees everything and he's supposed to guard the Bifrost Bridge.
Right.
But he can't see Jane, so Thor has to go get her.
Oh.
And then he doesn't notice an obvious enemy sneaking past him.
Damn.
And he doesn't realize there's a giant invasion until it's too late.
Wow, yeah, they should probably find someone else to do his job.
Yeah, well, to be fair, it seems like everyone on Asgard is pretty incompetent.
How so?
Well, for one thing, they put prisoners in cells in their full armor without checking them at all.
Right.
So yeah, that's gonna lead to this giant attack slash prison break scene.
Well, the bad guys got lucky that everybody on Asgard sucks.
Oh yeah, real lucky.
So what happens during the scene?
Well, Thor's mom is gonna take care of protecting Jane, right?
Okay.
And she's gonna trick Malekith by creating an illusion that Jane was there, but she really wasn't.
Very sneaky.
So then she's gonna get killed.
Why didn't she create an illusion of herself too?
Well, I want her to die so it brings Thor and Loki together.
Right, but she could have easily not died.
Yeah, but I want her to.
Well, okay then.
So then later, Thor and Loki and Jane are gonna go to the Dark World.
Okay.
And Malekith is gonna get the Aether and Loki's gonna get killed.
But not really.
Of course not. People love Loki.
Okay, great.
And Jane's gonna be like, man, I wish I had never found the Aether.
Yeah, this is kind of all her fault.
Yeah, but Thor's like, you know, if you hadn't found it, then Malekith would have just found it sooner.
But didn't Malekith only wake up because she found it?
Right.
So what the hell is Thor talking about?
I don't no. Fair enough. So then Thor and Jane get trapped in the Dark World. Oh man, is it gonna be hard for them to get out of there? Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh really?
Yeah, they're immediately gonna stumble onto a spot that has a direct portal to Earth. Jane even has cell phone reception and finds her car keys. Wow, that is extremely convenient. So then there's gonna be a huge battle on Earth involving portals and stuff. And what happens if Thor loses? Well, it's the end of reality as we know it. So I imagine the Avengers are gonna come help since the fight's happening on Earth?
No.
But they all got together to stop an invasion in the first Avengers movie. They're not gonna try to stop the end of reality? It's just not important enough to justify getting the whole team together. In the next Avengers movie, they're gonna get together to fight a snarky robot. Yeah, see, that sounds important. Thor's gonna handle this one alone.
If you say so.
So then Malekith is gonna get crushed like a cartoon character, and that's about it.
Hilarious. So what do you think?
Well, people seem to like the first movie, and this is pretty much a rehash of that, so I think we're good.
Awesome.
I mean, as long as the actors like it, that's all that really matters. Hey guys, it's Ryan here. Hope you like that pitch meeting. A lot more of these on the channel that you can check out. You can also let me know in the comments section what other movies you'd like to see pitches for. And we also recently launched a new series on the channel called Theory Battle. In that, we go head-to-head with two different film theories, and in the comments section, you guys decide which one of them is the most plausible. Fierce battles going on, definitely check those videos out. Don't forget to like this video and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And check back soon for a new pitch. Bye. So, you have a Captain America sequel script for me.
Yes, sir, I do. It's called Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Oh, the Winter Soldier, huh? Let's see what that's all about.
Yeah, I'd much prefer if you didn't Google the title.
Oh, the Winter Soldier is Bucky Barnes, Cap's friend from the first movie.
Yes.
Was that supposed to be a twist or something?
Yeah, it's like this big mystery during the whole movie.
Oh, well, maybe you shouldn't put the Winter Soldier in the title.
I mean, I'd have to come up with another title and everything.
Yeah, I guess that is like a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, people that don't use the internet will be surprised.
They sure will. So what's the movie about?
Oh, well, we're gonna find out that Hydra was secretly operating within S.H.I.E.L.D. this whole time, so the whole agency's compromised.
What?
Yeah, pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, it sounds super cool, but doesn't it kind of mess up some of the movies we've made already?
What do you mean?
Well, like, that means that in the Avengers, Hydra actually had the Tesseract?
Oh, yeah, I guess they did.
Also, why would Hydra let Nick Fury put together the Avengers in the first place?
Yeah, I guess they wouldn't have allowed that to happen.
We also had Tony Stark go into S.H.I.E.L.D.'s computer in the Avengers and see all their dirty little secrets.
Yeah, I guess you would have noticed the giant evil organization lurking within.
Probably.
But it's gonna be a cool movie, though.
Oh, it is. Okay, then.
Yeah, so anyway, Hydra wants to launch these three helicarriers, and these things will kill people by the millions.
Okay.
And Nick Fury starts to figure out that something fishy is going on, so Hydra tries to assassinate him.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, luckily everybody has horrible aim, so he does pretty well for himself.
Oh, good.
But then the Winter Soldier shows up.
Oh, Bucky shows up?
Well, yeah, but we don't know that it's Bucky yet.
Yes, we do.
And he shoots an explosive thing at Fury's car.
Why didn't they start with that?
They wanted to play with the little guns first, I guess? I don't know.
Fair enough.
Anyway, then it turns out that Nick Fury dug a hole in the ground and escaped through there.
Oh, holes are tight.
Ugh.
That didn't sound good at all, did it?
Not at all, sir.
My bad. So anyway, I guess Bucky chases him down the hole?
No, that's where the scene's gonna end.
But isn't Nick Fury all banged up? He can't have gotten far in a little tunnel.
The scene's over. I don't know what to tell ya.
Well, okay then.
Anyway, so then Nick Fury's gonna go to Cap's apartment and be like, hey buddy, S.H.I.E.L.D. is compromised.
Oh.
And then he's gonna get shot and he's gonna die.
For real?
Of course not.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
So then Hydra is suspicious of Cap and they try to take him out when he's leaving S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters.
Oh, so they're gonna shoot him or something?
No, they're gonna send some guys to try to take him down in hand-to-hand combat.
Seems like a pretty dumb strategy.
Yeah, like this is Captain America. Obviously don't try that.
Does it work though?
Of course not.
Right, obviously.
Yeah, Cap is gonna jump out of an elevator and escape on a motorcycle.
Very exciting.
But then an attack plane thing is gonna get in his way.
Oh man, is it gonna be hard for him to take down an attack plane thing?
No, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're gonna do this cool thing where physics stop mattering.
We are?
Yeah, he's gonna jump from his motorcycle to the plane thing, then he's gonna basically play pinball with his shield, which, by the way, is a boomerang now.
Wow.
And later he's gonna meet up with Black Widow, and she's just gonna keep asking him about his love life the whole movie.
She's a girl.
Yeah, and they're gonna find out that Zola kept his consciousness alive in a computer system from the 70s.
Zola is in one of the bad guys from the first Captain America. America movie?
Yeah.
Wow, nobody really ever dies in Marvel movies, huh?
Yeah, do you think that's gonna be less and less surprising every time we do it?
I mean, as long as we don't get too crazy with it, like let's not bring back Red Skull one day or something.
Yeah, that would definitely be overdoing it.
Oh yeah, that'd be weird.
Anyway, then stuff is getting really bad, so they need to find someone they can trust to help them out.
Oh, so who do they go to?
Well, obviously they get in touch with the Avengers.
No.
What?
This movie doesn't have the budget for Avengers. You're already pushing it with Black Widow.
But we've established that they all exist in the same universe and they trust each other.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Man, it feels like it's gonna be hard to make solo movies now that the Avengers came out.
Yeah, I mean, why do you think we're heading to space with the Guardians of the Galaxy this year?
Alright, I guess I'll throw in a scene where Captain America meets, like, a friendly guy while he's jogging or something.
And that guy'll turn out to be kind of a superhero.
I mean, I guess. Could be Falcon from the comics.
That works for me.
Well, alright then. In their time of need, they turn to a guy that Captain America met once while he was jogging.
Fantastic.
And then later we're gonna have Black Widow infiltrate a meeting with the head of Hydra using a high-tech face mask.
That sounds familiar.
It's from Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible, that's it.
And then Cap and Bucky are gonna fight in an exploding helicarrier and Cap's gonna fall out of it into the water.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but then Bucky's gonna end up saving Cap from drowning. It's gonna be nuts.
Oh, that's gonna be so cool to watch.
Yeah, we're not gonna show that, actually.
Oh.
So what do you think of the movie?
It sounds pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, you don't think destroying S.H.I.E.L.D. is gonna impact anything moving forward?
I can't think of a single way that it could.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch meeting. With that one, I've now done a pitch for every single movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So if you haven't seen those, you can check them out on the channel. You can let me know in the comments section what other movies you'd like to see pitches for, too. We also have a new series called Theory Battle on the channel that you can check out. In that, we go head-to-head with two different film theories, and you guys in the comments section let us know which one you think is the most likely to be true. A lot of fun. Definitely check it out. Thanks again for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe, all that. And check back soon for a new pitch. Bye-bye.
So you have a script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's a movie about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Who the hell are the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well, they're Marvel characters that we own.
They are? Wow, that doesn't even ring a bell.
Yeah, most people don't even know who they are.
So why would we make a movie about them?
Because at this point, we can make a movie about literally anything and people will pay us money to see it.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and we're gonna make this one super funny so people are really gonna enjoy it.
Enjoying funny things is tight. So how does the movie start?
Well, the main guy, Peter Quill's mom is gonna die and then he's gonna get abducted by aliens before he even has time to mourn her death.
Oh, that's hilarious.
What?
Super funny stuff. I love it.
I actually haven't got to the funny stuff yet.
Okay, good. I didn't get the joke at all, but I didn't want to look stupid.
So anyway, we're gonna jump forward 26 years and now Peter Quill calls himself Star-Lord.
Okay.
And he's gonna steal this powerful orb thing so people are gonna try to hunt him down.
Who's gonna hunt him?
Well, there's this character Gamora and she's known as the deadliest woman in the galaxy.
Oh, so she's gonna win all the fights she's in?
No, she's gonna lose most of them.
Oh.
Yeah, and she has to be saved several times.
Anything else I should know about her?
Well, she's the daughter of the big bad guy Thanos.
And she works for this movie's bad guy Ronan.
And her sister Nebula is hunting her down.
And she's supposed to get this orb thing, but she was planning on betraying Ronan. Wow, it almost sounds like she should be the main character.
Yeah, I know, right?
Why isn't she the main character?
Because.
Fair enough.
There's also this character named Rocket Raccoon.
What does he do?
Well, he has this awesome scene where he's gonna save his friend by, you know, crashing a spaceship directly into him.
That doesn't sound very helpful at all.
Yeah, well, somehow it's gonna work perfectly and knock out the bad guy, but none of the good guys.
Well, that doesn't make much sense, but I bet it's gonna look cool.
Yeah, and also there's this lovable talking tree character named Groot.
What's his deal?
Oh, he's great. In the end, he's gonna sacrifice himself for everyone and he's gonna die.
Not permanently, he's not.
What?
You can't permanently kill off a lovable character. This is a Marvel movie.
Okay, but...
No way, man.
Okay, maybe I can have him be reborn and there's like a baby Groot at the end of the movie?
As long as he's not dead by the end of it.
Well, technically he will die, but there'll be another Groot that...
Look, is there gonna be a cute character named Groot available for us to use in the sequel?
Yeah, but like he'll be...
Well, then you tell yourself whatever you want.
Oh, I will.
So what else happens?
Well, all those characters are gonna get arrested by this police force called the Nova Corps.
Okay.
And they're gonna be super pumped that they caught Gamora since she works for Ronan and they've been having some serious Ronan problems.
Oh, so they're gonna question her or use her as leverage or or something?
No, they're gonna immediately put her in jail to die.
Not the brightest move.
Yeah, they're pretty bad at their jobs.
Sounds like it.
Anyway, in jail, they're gonna meet this other character named Drax.
Oh, what's his deal?
Oh, he's funny. He takes everything literally.
Oh, that's funny. How's that gonna work?
Inconsistently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's gonna be a thing whenever I can think of a joke to make, but other than that, he's just gonna understand things normally.
Wow.
And then all the characters are gonna escape prison together.
Is that gonna be hard to do?
No, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because everything in the prison is stupid.
How so?
Well, they have these flying robot things that can't hit a target. Then they have guards that take turns shooting rockets instead of firing all at once, which buys the heroes a lot of time. Then for some reason, from the control room, you can control gravity in individual sectors in the prison, so they use that function to escape.
Why would that gravity thing even be an option?
Because I wrote that.
Fair enough. So tell me more about this Ronin guy.
He's blue and pouty and super evil.
Oh, he's evil? That does sound like a good villain.
I thought you might like that.
Oh, I do.
So he gets an Infinity Stone, which gives him the power to wipe out civilizations like weed in a field.
Well, sounds like it's gonna be hard for the Guardians to fight him one-on-one.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even though he can easily kill them on several occasions, he's just gonna kinda knock them down repeatedly.
Well, that's super considerate of him.
Yeah.
And you said Thanos is in this movie? Why does that ring a bell?
Oh, he's like the biggest bad guy ever. We showed him for a second in a post-credit scene in The Avengers.
Sounds like a powerful guy.
Oh yeah, this guy is so dangerous, you don't even know.
So what's he gonna do in the movie?
He's gonna sit in a chair.
Oh.
Yeah, and make some vague threats.
Is he gonna get out of the chair, though?
Oh, you bet he's gonna get out of the chair. He's gonna do some real damage.
Amazing.
In 2018.
What?
Anyway, so at the end of the movie, Peter's gonna save the day by grabbing the Infinity Stone in his hand and then holding hands with his friends and then blowing up Ronin.
How did they know to do that?
I don't know.
Well, how is Star-Lord able to hold an Infinity Stone without dying?
Well, he's gonna tell Ronin, you said it yourself, we're the Guardians of the Galaxy.
That doesn't explain it at all, though.
No, I guess not.
So how did he survive that?
Well, it's something to do with his father, but we're gonna explain that in the sequel.
The primary threat of this movie is solved by something we're not gonna fully explain till the next movie?
Exactly, yeah.
That's super evil of you. I love it.
Thank you.
So about this Groot character, I guess I'll have to track down a voice actor for him?
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much effort into that. All he says is literally, I am Groot.
So what are you saying?
Well, I mean, it'd be pretty pointless to hire a big name actor just to say three words over and over again.
Yeah, I guess that would be a big waste of money.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you liked that pitch meeting. We have a ton of these on the channel that you could check out. You could also let me know in the comments section what other movies you'd like to see pitches for. And if you did like this one, you could give it a like, maybe share it on Facebook and Twitter, and check back soon for a new pitch. Bye-bye.
So, you have a Guardians of the Galaxy sequel script for me.
Yes, sir, I do. So we're gonna start this one off with the Guardians fighting a giant space monster while Baby Groot stars in a Baby Groot toy commercial.
I love it when movie scenes are also commercials.
I know you do.
So why are they fighting a space monster?
Well, these gold people called the Sovereign hired them to protect some batteries, and they said they couldn't risk losing any of their own people.
Okay.
But then Rocket steals some of the batteries, so they chase the Guardians with their fleet of remote-controlled spaceships.
They have a fleet of remotely controlled spaceships?
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Why didn't they use those to fight the space monster?
What do you mean?
Well, if their battle technology specifically designed to not put them in danger, why did they hire the Guardians in the first place?
Because.
That works.
Anyway, then this dude Stakar tells Yondu that his funeral is gonna suck.
Oh, so Yondu is gonna die?
Oh, is it that predictable?
Having a character tell another one about his funeral makes me feel like we're gonna see his funeral.
We're gonna see his funeral.
Well, at least he's not one of the most well-liked characters.
Actually, by the end of the movie, people are gonna like him a lot. He's gonna have this thing where he says that he's Mary Poppins and stuff.
Oh, Mary Poppins is tight.
Oh, that sounded kind of weird.
Yeah, as soon as I said that, it sounded weird.
Ugh.
So we're actually gonna kill off a well-liked character. That's kind of a first for us.
Yeah, and it's really gonna come as a surprise because all the main characters in this movie are pretty much invincible.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're gonna survive so many things that nothing's gonna feel like a threat anymore.
What kind of stuff are we talking here?
Oh, just stuff like crashing their ships, smashing head first into rocks, getting crazy beams of whatever go through them, violently hitting trees, getting struck by monster tentacles, being swallowed, traveling through space at dangerous speeds, being literally next to an explosion, getting their ship shot thousands of times.
That's a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, it's gonna feel like a cartoon.
People like cartoons.
Anyway, in this movie, we're gonna have Peter meet his dad, and he's a celestial being named Exposition.
His name is Exposition?
Oh, no, sorry, it's Ego. I got confused because
90% of his lines are exposition.
Wow.
Yeah, so he brings them to his planet, which he is, and then he shows them a PowerPoint presentation explaining that he banged Peter's mom.
That's kind of weird.
Super weird. And so most of the Guardians are gonna hang out on Ego for a good chunk of the movie.
What are they gonna do there?
Not much.
Huh.
But there is this character, Mantis, who's like Ego's servant, and she's like, I have to tell you guys something about Ego, and it's really bad.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, but then she's not gonna tell them for like 30 minutes of screen time.
Wow, really stretching this out, aren't ya?
I am.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, I also split up the Guardians so I could stretch it out even more.
Smart.
So Rocket and Groot and Yondu are being held prisoners by the Ravagers, and then Yondu is gonna murder them all with his arrow.
The people that were his allies, like 2 days prior?
Right.
Oh, that's so dark.
No, there's gonna be cool music playing and it's gonna be slow-mo.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be a really fun time.
Amazing.
Yeah, taking lives while music plays is gonna be a really big part of this film.
Death is great. Hail Satan.
What?
So how does the movie end?
Well, Ego is gonna show Peter another PowerPoint presentation about how he banged a bunch of aliens.
Kind of inappropriate.
Yeah, and then Mantis is gonna reveal that he's been killing all his children because they didn't hold the celestial gene.
So she's kind of complicit in that because clearly she knew it was wrong to be killing kids.
Yeah, for sure, but I think people are gonna like her anyway.
It's gonna be tough to get people to like a character that's complicit in wide-scale child murders.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
What do you mean?
Well, she's gonna act super innocent and adorable.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, she's even gonna join the Guardians at the end of the film.
That is so sweet. I don't even care about those dead kids anymore.
Nobody will.
Wow.
So anyway, Ego needs Peter's celestial genes to move his plan of expansion across the universe forward. And Peter is into it, but then Ego admits that he killed Peter's mom.
Why does he do that?
Well, because I needed Peter to find out somehow, and so having Ego just say it unprompted felt like an easy way to do that.
Fair enough.
So then Peter is devastated, and he wants to kill Ego.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, finding out that his dad killed his mom, that's gonna be a dark moment.
You'd think so, but then Ego's gonna turn into David Hasselhoff.
Oh, undercutting emotional scenes with silliness is our bread and butter.
Yeah, feeling emotion sucks.
Also, I like that finding out a key fact about his mom's death is what drives the climax.
Yeah, I think it might be a first for Marvel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, other than Iron Man and Captain America Civil War.
Maybe because it's so recent, people won't notice.
Maybe.
So anyway, then everyone's gonna join together and defeat Ego.
Wow, how do they manage that?
They destroy his brain.
Okay, but the fight takes place on a planet that is him.
Yeah, he shouldn't really be able to lose.
Doesn't sound like he should.
But it's not like anyone's gonna really look into the science of this, you know? It's just for fun.
Right, it's a movie with superpowers and talking raccoons. You'd have to be a real killjoy to check if the science works.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch meeting. Let me know in the comments section what other movies I should do pitches for. If you like this video, you can like it. You can also share it with your friends and subscribe to the channel. And there are a lot of these on the channel, so be sure to check those out. Thanks for watching and check in back soon for another pitch. Bye-bye.
So you have a new Avengers script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And this one starts off with the Avengers doing some super awesome murders.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it's gonna be like 10 solid minutes of the Avengers murdering and cracking jokes and murdering and cracking jokes.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
And how are the Avengers getting along without Tony?
Oh, well, he's right there with them.
Didn't he kind of retire at the end of Iron Man 3?
Yeah, that's right.
So what explanation are we giving for his return?
None. Whatsoever.
Huh. So what's the movie about?
Well, it's called Age of Ultron.
Oh, Age of Ultron? So this takes place over several years?
Yeah, no, just a couple of days.
Oh, do you know what the word age means?
I do not.
It's a tough word.
Yeah, sounds cool though. Age of Ultron.
It does sound cool.
So anyway, using Loki's scepter, Iron Man wants to create an AI called Ultron that can achieve peace in our time.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but then Ultron understands his purpose as, oh, I need to murder everyone.
Whoopsie.
So Ultron attacks the Avengers while they're getting drunk and then escapes through the internet.
He escapes through the internet.
Yeah, so now he has access to every system on Earth except nukes.
Oh, that's cool. So what's his plan? Is he gonna, like, take down the electrical grid?
Nope.
Something with the water supply?
Nuh-uh.
Air traffic control?
Nope.
All of the Avengers' super advanced technology?
No, those sound like good ideas, but what he really plans on doing is making a city fly and throwing it down to Earth.
Oh, you'd think a genius AI would be able to think of a better plan than that.
You'd think so, but he's really into the city throwing idea.
Interesting.
So anyway, Ultron is this super scary, super intimidating robot.
You should have him crack jokes like Loki.
What?
People love Loki.
Yeah, but why would a robot crack jokes?
So he could be more like Loki.
Okay, but
people love Loki.
Oh, is this so you can sell Ultron toys to kids?
Maybe. We sold a lot of Loki toys.
Well, why didn't you say so? The movie's already a big commercial anyway.
Ugh, I love you so much.
Oh, stop.
What kind of commercials are we talking?
Well, for example, the Hulk listens to music to calm down, right?
Okay.
On his wireless Beats by Dre headphones.
Oh, awesome. That's a product.
Or like Hawkeye and Black Widow drive around, right?
Yeah.
In a brand new state of
state-of-the-art Audi.
That's amazing. That's a product.
We also find out what Iron Man likes to wear under his armor.
Uh-huh.
Any idea what brand he wears under his armor?
No idea.
He wears Under Armour under his armor.
You just blew my mind. That's a product.
And the movie's not just a commercial for products, it's also a commercial for movies.
What other movies?
Our future movies.
How'd you do that?
Well, we're introducing this character named Scarlet Witch that gives people visions.
Okay.
And so she gives Thor a vision that's a setup for Thor 3.
Wow.
And she gives Tony a vision that's a setup for Avengers 3.
I love it. So what else happens in the movie?
Well, after the witch gives people a bunch of visions, she makes the Hulk go crazy, and so Tony has to stop him.
How does he manage that?
He developed this new super powerful Hulkbuster armor, and so they just destroy a bunch of buildings.
Oh, Tony has a suit upgrade, huh? I bet that'll come in handy against Ultron.
Yeah, no, he's only gonna use it once.
Oh,
so anyway, then they all go hide out with Hawkeye's family.
What happens there?
Well, Natasha and Bruce have a long conversation about how they should have showered together.
What?
Yeah, they're in love now.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, I decided that would be a thing.
Cute.
And then Thor pieces out because he had a bad dream. And then Nick Fury secretly hides out in a barn to surprise Tony, even though he meets with everyone minutes later and had no reason to hide.
Dramatic entrance, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that.
And what does Thor go off and do?
He goes to take a bath with Eric Selvig.
Oh, kinky.
No, he jumps into a dream puddle and learns about Infinity Stones.
Oh, is that a commercial for...
Commercial for an upcoming movie, that's right.
I love it.
So anyway, Ultron tries to put himself in a body type thing, but then the Avengers steal it.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, and then Tony convinces Bruce that they have to do the exact same thing they did with Ultron again.
He wants them to redo the thing that created a death robot?
That's right.
God, is it gonna be hard to convince Bruce to do it?
No, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, he basically says that they're both monsters, and for some reason that convinces him.
That was easy.
Anyway, so they do the thing again, but this time Thor hits it with some lightning, and that creates a really nice dude named Vision somehow.
It's crazy how science works, isn't it?
Yeah, I literally don't understand it.
Me neither.
Also, Ultron is gonna kidnap Black Widow.
He's gonna kidnap her. Why wouldn't he just kill her?
I don't know, I guess to lure the Avengers over?
Wouldn't they have gone anyway if Ultron is lifting a city into the sky?
Yeah, you'd hope so.
So how does the movie end?
Well, you know how in the first Avengers we had them fighting like a generic army of aliens?
Yeah.
Well, this time we're gonna switch things up a bit.
Oh yeah?
Now it's gonna be a generic army of robots.
Very cool.
Also, one of the Avengers is gonna die.
What? Which one?
Quicksilver.
Oh, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, we only introduce him in this movie. I'm not sure that he's actually an Avenger.
How does he die?
Well, Hawkeye is about to get shot, so Quicksilver uses his super speed to stand in front of the bullets.
He has super speed?
That's right.
Why doesn't he use that to get them out of the way instead of stepping in front of bullets?
I don't know. Plus, there's a huge scene earlier where he moves a bunch of people out of the way of a moving train.
So he dies.
Yeah, and also Tony, Thor, and Vision are all hitting Ultron at the same time, and he starts to die.
Amazing.
And then they all stop and let him get away.
Why?
I don't know, but Scarlet Witch kills him later.
Well, good.
And then in a mid-credit scene, we're gonna have Thanos show up.
Oh, what does he do?
He puts on the Infinity Gauntlet, and he's like, fine, I'll do it myself.
What's he talking about?
Getting the Infinity Stones.
Was Ultron trying to get him Infinity Stones?
Nope.
So what's he talking about?
Getting the Infinity Stones.
But that line doesn't make sense in the context of this movie.
Yeah, but he wants them.
But what's he talking about?
Getting the Infinity Stones.
Never mind.
Anyway, so Tony retires from being Iron Man again.
Oh, but he'll be back, right?
No, this time he's retiring for real. He's never putting that suit on again.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Thanks for watching that pitch meeting. Let me know in the comments section what other movies I should do pitches for. We also have a lot more of these videos on the channel, so be sure to check those out. And you can also check out ScreenRant.com for the latest movie and TV news. Thanks for watching. Check in next Saturday for a new pitch.
So, you're here to talk about Ant-Man.
Yes, sir, I am.
Cool. So, do you need your parking validated or something?
What?
Make sure you pull on the door on your way out, because it looks like a push, but it's actually a pull.
Don't you want me to pitch to you?
Oh, you're not leaving?
I wasn't planning on it.
Wow, well, awesome. We had a lot of people leave the project, so I just kind of assumed.
Wow, bummer.
Yeah, so, you know, please don't leave me. You're my last hope.
Sounds good.
Please.
Okay.
So what's the story about?
Well, you know how in the first Iron Man movie, there's a character that develops a super suit, and then he's like, oh, this is too powerful to get out. But then a corporate bad guy from the same company wants to sell it and then makes his own evil version of the suit. And so you end up with a big final fight of nice guy super suit versus evil guy super suit.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do is that.
Well, if it ain't broke, you know, keep doing it till it stops making money.
That's what I figured.
So tell me about the characters.
Well, first of all, there's Hank Pym. He's the one that invented the shrinking technology, and he used to be Ant-Man.
How's that technology gonna work?
Inconsistently.
Oh.
Yeah, we're gonna say that it reduces the space between atoms so objects keep their mass, but then we're gonna do a bunch of stuff that contradicts that.
How so?
Well, sometimes Ant-Man's gonna have the mass and force of a full-grown man, but other times he'll be light enough to run on a gun barrel or ride an ant. And Hank Pym is gonna have an actual tank as a a keychain, which should weigh about 60 tons.
Why so inconsistent?
Well, I wanted to do certain things because they would look cool, but then I was like, oh, those totally break the rules that I myself established in the script.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I don't care.
And you did it anyway.
And I did it anyway.
The rule of cool strikes again.
Yeah, so anyway, Hank wants this guy Scott to become Ant-Man and save the world because he can't do it himself anymore.
Scott?
Yeah, he's this guy that's just getting out of jail.
Why does Hank want him?
Well, Scott's an amazing thief, like the stuff of legends when it comes to stealing.
Why was he in jail?
Oh, because he got caught stealing.
Doesn't sound like he's that good at it.
Yeah, I guess not. In fact, he's gonna fail pretty much any time he tries to steal something in the movie.
Strange choice of a guy to save the world.
I guess so.
So what does Scott say when Hank asks him?
Oh, well, he doesn't ask him directly.
Oh, he doesn't?
No, instead he sets up a super elaborate series of events that could go wrong in 1,000 different ways, just so that maybe Scott could steal the suit.
Why didn't he just ask him?
He wanted to see if he'd be able to break into a safe.
Could have just asked him.
Yeah, but this way's more fun.
This Hank guy is playing around a lot for someone who wants to save the world.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, Scott was in jail for about 5 years, so now he wants to make money so he could pay child support and see his daughter.
How old is his daughter?
She's like 6 or 7.
So he went to jail for stealing when he had a 1 or 2 year old baby at home.
That's right.
I gotta say, Hank Pym is putting a lot of faith in this super sketchy dude.
Yeah, well, he says everyone deserves a second chance.
Yeah, but should your second chance out of jail have save the world level stakes?
Probably not.
So who else is in the movie?
Well, there's Hank's daughter Hope that he keeps secrets from for no valid reason.
Huh.
And she's gonna fall in love with Scott because they're both attractive.
And is there a villain in the movie?
Oh yeah, we've got this villain Darren Cross, and he is evil.
So what's his deal?
I just told you.
Oh.
Yeah, just like a generic evil guy, you know?
That's what I'm talking about.
So he wants to sell this yellow jacket suit to some evil military types.
Right, like an Iron Man.
But one of them's not super interested. So Cross is gonna use his incomplete shrink tech to turn him into a tiny pile of goo and flush him down a toilet.
Jesus, why doesn't he try selling that as a weapon? That's horrifying.
He doesn't think of that, I guess.
Now, I hate to do this, but is there a way we could kinda tie this movie in with the Avengers?
Oh, yeah, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'll just add like a little side quest where Ant-Man has to go get a thing and he'll end up fighting an Avenger.
I love it. What Avenger did you have in mind?
Well, Iron Man would be cool.
Yeah, if you want to double the movie's budget.
Oh, does Robert Downey Jr. cost a lot?
You're damn right he does. That guy's contracts basically drain money from our bank accounts.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that according to his last contract, we have to pay him every time he uses our bathrooms?
I didn't know that.
Every time he poops in this building, it costs us $1,000.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad of a deal.
Yeah, it's kind of a steal when you think about it.
So anyway, how does the movie end?
Well, Darren Cross is gonna end up figuring out the shrink tech and finishing his suit.
Uh-oh.
So the team is gonna try to steal the technology from him. And it's gonna end in this big fight between him and Scott in their little super suits.
How's that gonna go?
Well, despite having no training and never having been in the suit before, Cross is gonna be like an expert fighter.
Wow.
And then Scott's gonna go subatomic to kill him.
Subatomic?
Yeah, like smaller than an atom.
But you said the technology works by bringing atoms closer together.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
And then Scott's gonna be pardoned for all the illegal stuff he did, and he's gonna dedicate himself to his family.
Yeah, I guess he's not gonna want to do anything that would jeopardize being able to see his daughter.
That's the last thing he'd do. Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch. There are thousands more pitch meetings on the channel, so be sure to check those out. It might be a slight exaggeration, but there's a lot. Let me know in the comment section what other movies I should do pitches for. Don't forget to like and share and subscribe. Thanks for watching.
So you have that new Captain America script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. Now, I should inform you there's a rumor going around Hollywood right now.
Oh, what's that?
Apparently, this year, everybody's gonna be making movies about heroes fighting heroes. There's gonna be Batman versus Superman. In Transformers, they're gonna fight Optimus. In the new Fast and Furious, they're gonna fight Dom.
Wow, it sounds like everybody's gonna be doing the same kind of crap this year.
Yeah, sounds that way. So I figured we would too.
Great!
It's gonna be called Captain America Civil War.
What's that gonna be like?
It's gonna be like if a kid took out all his superhero toys and just started smashing them together.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, so we're gonna have the government be mad at the Avengers about all the damage caused in Sokovia and Washington, D.C. and New York City.
Wait, didn't the government try to nuke New York City?
They did.
And nobody's gonna bring that up?
No.
Okay.
So anyway, they want the Avengers to sign the Sokovia Accords. That would give them all government oversight and kinda keep them in check. So Tony and some others are like, yeah. But Captain America and some others are like, no.
Oh, the conflict is brewing.
Yeah, it's pretty serious. It's like the Avengers are being torn up from the inside.
Wow, so there's no need for a villain.
Well, no, there is a villain.
What does he want?
For the Avengers to be torn up from the inside.
Huh. His name is Zemo, and his family was killed in Sokovia. So he's gonna do, like, all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, he's gonna bomb the United Nations and frame Bucky for it.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's gonna kill the King of Wakanda, so Black Panther's gonna wanna kill Bucky too.
Oh, Black Panther is in this?
Yeah.
Wow, there is a lot going on.
Oh yeah, the movie's gonna be super stuffed. So, like, half the movie is gonna be setting up future movies.
At least.
I love it.
And we're also gonna have this huge fight at an airport that's gonna involve—
Oh, sorry, just a second. Hello? Really? We did? Well, that's great news. Yeah, no, we'll put him in there for sure. Thank you.
What's up?
Okay, so I just got word that we can now use Spider-Man in the MCU.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Right? So let's shove him in there somehow.
In Civil War?
Yeah, we could have Tony recruit him onto his team for that airport fight.
Do you think people are gonna mind that? That doesn't make much sense.
What do you mean?
Well, Tony's whole thing in this movie is about superheroes being more responsible.
Right.
So we probably shouldn't have him recruit an untrained child and throw him into a fight with the world's most powerful heroes and put him in mortal danger.
Okay, yeah, no, I see what you're saying. It doesn't make too much sense. But also, look at it this way. It's Spider-Man.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
People love Spider-Man.
They do.
Oh, and I'm gonna get somebody really hot to play Aunt May.
Really? To play Aunt May?
Yeah, well, I mean, what two words come to mind when you think of the character Aunt May?
I don't know, old lady?
Sex symbol, exactly.
That's... okay.
Hey, while we're at it, let's throw Ant-Man in here.
How would we do that?
Just toss him onto Captain America's team.
Wasn't his whole movie about not wanting to go to jail and jeopardize things with his daughter?
Yeah, pretty much.
But we're gonna have him jump onto the side of international fugitives, no questions asked.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Hey, toss Hawkeye in there too.
But he retired to be with his family.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that, though. I don't care.
Gotcha.
I mean, if we're gonna overstuff this movie, let's go all out.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
So what happens at this airport fight?
Well, I figure we just give every character a couple of one-liner jokes, maybe one or two fight scenes each, and call it a day.
Sounds like a classic Marvel fight.
But I was thinking, because, you know, somebody should get hurt during a fight with the world's most powerful heroes, that maybe we kill War Machine at the end.
No.
No?
No, no, no. None of that things having consequences business.
Okay, can he be injured, maybe? It just feels like something should happen.
Fine, he can get hurt, but he has to be in recovery at the end of the movie.
Thank you.
But that's it, though. No more consequences.
I promise nothing else will have much impact on anything at all.
Good. So how does it end?
Well, you know that bad guy I mentioned earlier?
Yeah?
Well, he's gonna have this thing where, other than a minor hiccup at the beginning, everything's just gonna kind of go his way.
What do you mean?
Okay, so because Natasha released some Hydra files, he knows that something happened in 1991 involving the Winter Soldier. So he tries to find out what it is by interrogating this Hydra dude, but it doesn't work.
The hiccup?
Right, but from that point on, everything's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
I'm listening.
So he decides he needs to interrogate Bucky himself, but Bucky is in hiding. So he bombs the United Nations and frames Bucky to kind of flush him out.
Wouldn't being framed just send him deeper into hiding?
You'd think so, but it works almost immediately.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so then Zemo kills a psychiatrist that's supposed to interview Bucky and takes his place.
Isn't anyone familiar with the psychiatrist they hired, or at the very least know what he looks like?
You'd think so, but luckily for Zemo, apparently nobody does.
Okay.
Then he finds out what the 1991 thing was, and luckily for him, it involves the Winter Soldier and Tony's parents.
That's convenient.
Very. And then luckily for him, Captain America decides to go against everybody, and somehow he and Bucky manage to escape together.
Hmm.
Then luckily for Zemo, everybody follows him to Siberia. And there's an actual videotape of Bucky killing Tony's parents in 1991 because luckily for him, there was a security camera in that exact spot in the middle of a forest road, and for some reason Hydra decided to keep it in their records. And then Tony sees it, and luckily for him, even though Tony now knows that the Winter Soldier was brainwashed and framed and not actually responsible, he immediately loses his mind and tries to kill both Bucky and Cap.
Wow, that's all super lucky.
So then there's a fight, but at the last minute, Cap doesn't kill Tony.
You're damn right he doesn't.
So then they're like, well, we're not friends anymore, but also we're still friends and call me anytime.
I love it.
You think it's gonna do well?
Well, I'm looking at this as kind of a test.
What do you mean?
I have this theory that stuffing more and more characters into our movies translates to more money at the box office.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so if this movie does well, we can just go crazy with it.
Fingers crossed.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch meeting. Let me know in the comment section what other movies you'd like to see videos for. We also have a lot more of these on the channel, so you can check those out and maybe subscribe. Also, you can check out ScreenRant.com for all the latest movie and TV news. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
So what's the movie about?
Well, it takes place a couple of months after Civil War.
Okay, so Tony Stark has just made a big deal about superheroes having to be responsible.
Exactly. So at the beginning of this movie, Tony leaves a weaponized spider suit with a high school student and then doesn't take his calls.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and it's equipped with a ton of crazy stuff. There's a bunch of web modes, a recon drone, glider wings, web grenades, even an instant kill mode that kind of turns on by itself.
And Tony just leaves that in the hands of a teenager.
Well, he left a software block on the crazier stuff.
Oh, so it's impossible for Peter to access those modes.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, well, Peter's friend Ned from high school hacks into the suit and just unblocks everything.
Oh, hacking.
They also take a tracker out so Tony and Happy can't see where he goes.
So Stark Technology's like the best in the world. This Ned guy must be really smart.
He's not? I mean, I guess technically he is, but we're gonna play him as really dumb.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like in the first part of the movie, he keeps loudly asking Peter super sensitive questions.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah, you'd think that would be a no-brainer for anyone, right?
And he's able to hack Stark Tech.
He is, so Peter has access to a bunch of functionalities.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was really fun to write, because whenever I didn't know how to solve a problem in a scene, I was like, oh, well maybe the Stark suit has a mode to solve this.
That's smart.
Yeah, and when that didn't work, I just have Iron Man swoop in and save the day. People like Iron Man.
They do.
Oh, that reminds me, the suit has a Jarvis interface, so we might have to get Paul Bettany back if possible.
Oh, actually, we can't do that.
How come?
Well, he's transformed into Vision now.
Oh, that's right.
I can see if his wife is available.
Jennifer Connelly, yeah, perfect.
Great.
So does this movie have a villain? Because I'd like to start casting ASAP.
It does. He's called the Vulture.
The Vulture, so kind of like a...
He's like a bird man.
A bird man.
Okay. I can work with that, that'll help.
Awesome. So what's his deal? Well, he was hired to clean up alien debris after the invasion in the first Avengers movie.
Interesting, tying it together.
Yeah, but then he was fired, so he became a supervillain to support his family.
Just a 180 like that.
Yeah, pretty much immediately. So he and his crew start stealing alien debris and use them to make super weapons.
Oh, you'd think the government would be keeping really close watch on that stuff.
You'd think so, but we jump forward 8 years in time and Vulture's doing great, no problems at all.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like they're not even being that secretive about it.
No?
No, they're just selling to like run-of-the-mill criminals for robberies and stuff.
Just anyone.
It seems that way. Plus, one of the guys likes to demo them in open spaces. At another point, they're literally on the news.
And nobody's looking too deeply into this.
Not really, no, but Spider-Man decides to.
Oh, he does he?
Yeah, and it's gonna lead to some pretty crazy action. Like, we're really stepping things up from the older Spider-Man movies.
I'm listening.
So you know in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, there's Peter's love interest falling from high up inside a tower?
Yeah.
Well, in this movie, we're gonna have Peter's love interest falling from high up inside a tower, except now that tower is the Washington Monument.
What's wrong?
I think that's a mistake.
It is?
Yeah, I do. I think the Washington Monument is technically an obelisk, not a tower.
Oh, but you like the idea.
Oh yeah, no, I love the idea. Love interest falling from high up, that's amazing.
Great.
And we're also gonna do the Jesus thing from Spider-Man 2.
Jesus thing?
You know when Tobey Maguire is trying to stop a train with some webs and it looks like he's gonna poop?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so basically that, but with a fairy that gets cut in half.
How does he manage to get the fairy back together?
Well, I couldn't think of a way for the suit to take care of it, so Iron Man swoops in and saves the day.
Gotcha, that's a good system,
right? It made this so easy to write.
So what's the climax of the movie?
Oh, so Happy Hogan is having a bunch of super dangerous and valuable stuff shipped for Tony.
He does that even though there's this big bad guy flying around stealing dangerous and valuable stuff?
Yes, he does.
So I guess he's gonna have some pretty crazy security on that shipment.
No, he puts it on a plane and sets the plane to autopilot.
That's it?
Oh, it's invisible.
Does that help?
No.
How did the Vulture and his team learn so much about the plans to ship this stuff?
Oh, we're not gonna explain that.
Oh, that's a gutsy move, because some people might consider that lazy writing, but I know you're just trying to keep some mystery. I like it.
Yes, because of the mystery. That's why I did that.
And how does the movie end?
Well, Tony had taken Peter's suit away because he went after the Vulture, which was reckless.
Right.
And at the end, he offers him a new suit because he went after the Vulture, which was brave.
Okay, so Spider-Man ends the movie with an even better suit.
Actually, no, that's a pretty big moment.
Go on.
Tony offers him this amazing Iron Spider suit, but he's like, no thanks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a huge character moment.
I like that.
Right? It sends the message of like, I don't need Iron Man.
Exactly. By not taking the suit, it's like, I am my own person.
Yeah, and I think the decision to not get in the suit is really gonna define the character moving forward.
I love it.
Hello, Ryan here. Thank you so much for watching that pitch meeting. Let me know in the comments section what other movies and shows you'd like to see pitch meetings for. And keep an eye on our community tab on YouTube because we've been having votes on there, which is how this video came to be. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. So you have a Doctor Strange script for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Great, I'm really excited about this one. I actually already have some actors interested.
Oh yeah? Who?
Benedict Cumberbatch, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Mads Mikkelsen?
Are those the names of people?
Yeah.
It sounds like you punched a keyboard.
No, they're people.
If you say so.
So what happens in the movie?
Well, we're gonna meet Doctor Strange, and he's like a super rich surgeon that walks around like, boy, it sure is good to have hands that work.
And what's his character like?
He's like a Tony Stark type, but without the charm or the humor.
So just an unlikable jerk, then?
Very much so.
Does he have any redeeming qualities?
No, he's just a jerk.
Gotcha.
So anyway, he's gonna crash his fancy car because he was checking his phone, and that's gonna lead to the whole plot of the movie.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful message for kids and teens.
Yeah, that's true. You shouldn't use your phone while driving.
But if you do, you'll get to become a superhero.
Oh, no, that's not really what I...
You'll get to join the Avengers and become a wizard.
I'm not really going for that message, though.
Just be mean to everyone and drive recklessly. You'll learn magic.
Okay, so anyway, the accident is gonna mess up his hands, and so he's gonna become even more unlikable.
Okay.
So then this guy tells him about these people that helped him heal himself spiritually. So Doctor Strange is like, awesome.
That does sound awesome.
So Doctor Strange goes to see these people and they're like, we can help you heal yourself. And he's like, you guys are some goddamn liars up in here.
Kinda did a 180 on that one.
Yeah, and this dude Mordo is like, forget everything you know.
And then Doctor Strange forgets how to breathe and he dies?
No, that doesn't happen.
Okay, so he doesn't forget everything.
No, he remembers how to breathe.
Say that then.
Okay, so anyway, then this character called the Ancient One punches a ghost out of his chest and then sends him into an iTunes visualizer.
So then he believes in all the stuff. Wow.
And then characters are gonna explain magic to him for about an hour.
And is there a bad guy in this movie?
Yeah, there's this evil sorcerer named Cassilius.
Oh, an evil sorcerer, like Voldemort.
No, he's nothing like Voldemort.
Oh.
No, he's just a super powerful magical antagonist with a weird name that went to the same school of witchcraft and wizardry as the protagonist and has an intense obsession with immortality.
That sounds like Voldemort.
No, this guy has a nose.
Oh, he has a nose. Okay, that doesn't sound like Voldemort at all. Voldemort doesn't have a nose.
There you go.
So what's this guy's plan?
Well, he wants to open the dark dimension and let in this evil being named Dormammu.
Okay.
So he steals some pages from this magic book that let him do that.
Why doesn't he just take the whole book?
Well, he just needs those pages.
Right, but doesn't stealing those specific pages let the good guys know exactly what his plan is?
It does.
Huh.
Also, Doctor Strange is gonna use the rest of the book to learn exactly how to save the day.
So he really should have taken the whole book.
Yeah, or like made photocopies of the pages he needed.
This guy's pretty dumb.
He's not the brightest.
But are there gonna be some cool fight scenes?
Oh yeah, mind-blowing fight scenes. It's gonna be like some raccoons in bathrobes are chasing Doctor Strange through a kaleidoscope.
Very cool, but I mean this guy's super powerful. It's gonna be hard for Doctor Strange to fight him.
No, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
How so?
Well, as he's fighting him, he suddenly gets some help from a cape.
Oh, capes are tight.
Yeah, this is a cool cape with a feisty personality.
So does this cape help him fight throughout the rest of the movie?
Well, it's gonna help him in that scene, and then we're mostly gonna forget about it, and he'll just kinda wear it.
Fair enough.
Also, Doctor Strange is gonna get stabbed.
Uh-oh, is it bad?
It's bad enough that he's gonna die on an operating table.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but then he's gonna get zapped with a defibrillator that's gonna 100% cure him.
Must be a pretty good defibrillator.
Yeah, I mean, it completely fixes a fatal stab wound, so I'd say it's pretty good.
So how does the movie end?
Well, Doctor Strange is gonna go see Dormammu and be like, Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
Okay.
And then he's gonna be like, Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
Right.
And then he's gonna be like, Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
Then what does he say?
Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
And then?
Well, I don't know the script by heart.
Right, of course.
But essentially, he traps Dormammu in a time loop until Dormammu decides to leave.
Well, good.
Yeah.
So now Doctor Strange can use the time thing to fix all the problems in the MCU.
No, he can't.
Why not?
Because of vague consequences.
Oh, that sounds bad.
Yeah, it is. Maybe.
So about this Ancient One.
Yeah?
What's that character like in the comics, just so I know for casting?
The Ancient One is like this wise old Tibetan monk.
Oh, okay, I know just who to get.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, Tilda Swinton. She'd be perfect.
That's not at all what I described.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone's gonna mind. Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch. If this is the first one you see, there are a lot more on the channel, so check those out. And let me know in the comments section what other movies I should make pitches for.
You can like, you can subscribe, you can share it with your friends.
Thanks for watching. Check back soon for a new pitch. So you have a new script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And this one's all about Black Panther.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
So what other Avengers are in it?
Oh, none. It's just Black Panther.
Oh, no.
No?
We don't do that anymore.
What do you mean?
If you're doing a solo Marvel movie, you need more than one superhero in there. Like how Iron Man was in Spider-Man Homecoming, or how Guardians is about a team of space heroes, or how we put everyone in Captain America Civil War. It's just how we sell things now.
Well, what about Doctor Strange?
Yeah, see, that didn't even make it into our top 10 highest grossing movies.
Oh.
Yeah, we kind of thought it would sell itself because of the star power of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right, well, I'd still like to give it a try.
You think a Chadwick Boseman-led movie is gonna do better than one led by Bernadette Cumberbatch?
I think it could.
This is Barnacle Clampersnatch we're talking here.
Okay, you're not even trying to say his name right anymore, are you?
Yeah, no, I stopped trying.
Listen, I think if this movie tells a good story, it could do pretty well.
Alright, so what's the story?
Well, T'Challa goes home to Wakanda now that his dad is dead and he's the Black Panther.
Oh, and Captain America and Bucky are there.
No, they're not.
You have to mention them. We showed them there at the end of Civil War.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll throw Bucky in a post-credit scene, I guess.
Yes, awesome.
So we're good now?
Oh yeah, now we're gonna be able to sell this movie.
Really?
Yeah, now we have that Sebastian Stan star power, so we're good.
Well, great. So anyway, for T'Challa's coronation where he becomes Black Panther, he has to drink this thing that takes away his Black Panther powers.
Wait, he already has the powers?
Yeah, he had them in Civil War.
Right, but we're saying he's about to become Black Panther because his dad died.
That's right.
And to do that, they have to make him not Black Panther anymore? How does that work?
Yeah, we're not really gonna explain that in the movie.
Oh.
But we will explain it in a Black Panther prelude comic, so if fans wanna know more,
they can pay me money.
Exactly.
Money is tight.
Oh, are you having money problems?
No, what?
You said money was tight.
It is tight.
Okay, so anyway, T'Challa has to go through this ceremony where people can try to kill him if they want to be king.
Whoa.
Yeah, they don't mess around in Wakanda.
You'd think as the most advanced nation in the world, they'd have figured out a way to move past bloodlines and death fights.
Well, it's tradition, so what are you gonna do?
Try not to die, I guess.
Yeah. But other than death fights, Wakanda's a pretty cool place.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, they have a bunch of awesome stuff like vibranium weapons and cool ships and super crazy technology.
Very cool.
Also war rhinos.
Did you say war rhinos?
Yeah, war rhinos.
What does that even mean?
War rhinos, like, you know, rhinoceroses of war.
If they have vibranium weapons, why do they need rhinos?
That's actually a good question. Let me check here, I think I have an explanation. Yeah, because it's awesome.
It sounds kind of silly.
It's awesome.
Yeah, but they—
Okay, look, I didn't want to have to do this, but if you don't let me put war rhinos in this movie, I'm gonna go on a tweet storm of Infinity War spoilers, so help me God.
You wouldn't.
I want those rhinos.
Okay, look at me. Put the phone down. We'll put the rhinos in the movie.
Great, thanks.
So what else happens?
Well, there's this dude named Claw who stole a bunch of vibranium from Wakanda back in the day and killed a bunch of people and then never aged.
Okay.
And we see him and this guy Killmonger steal an artifact from a museum that nobody knew was actually made of vibranium.
How come they know it's made of vibranium?
Because.
Okay.
And so Claw goes to Korea to sell this vibranium to an American buyer.
Where does Killmonger go?
Oh, well, he goes away for a good chunk of the movie.
Mysterious.
So the Wakandans find out about this deal and they see it as their chance to finally capture Claw.
Oh yeah, get some sweet justice.
Right, and this guy Wakabi's parents were killed by Claw back in the day. So T'Challa tells him, my man, I'm definitely gonna capture this guy for you. You have my word, I promise. This is gonna happen. I'm gonna do this for you. I swear to God.
So that's obviously not gonna work out.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work out.
What happens?
Well, they do capture Claw, but then Killmonger shows up and helps him escape.
Oh, Killmonger's back.
Yeah, it turns out he had his own evil plan going on this whole time.
Oh, what's he planning?
His plan is to kill Claw and bring him to Wakanda to show that he's better than T'Challa.
And I imagine it's gonna be hard for him to get into Wakanda.
No, actually super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, he's just gonna kinda walk in and then immediately run into Wakabi.
Oh, that is convenient.
Yeah, I mean, the very first person he runs into is the one that would have the most emotional response to seeing Claw's body, so that works out well for him.
But I guess T'Challa can just defuse the whole situation by explaining what happened.
You'd think so, like, hey Wakabi, we did capture Claw, but this guy Killmonger attacked the holding cell with explosives.
Right, that would defuse things.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, he doesn't do that.
Oh, okay.
And as it turns out, Killmonger is T'Challa's cousin, and his dad was killed by T'Challa's dad.
Uh-oh.
So he challenges him to a death fight and throws him off a waterfall.
Whoa.
And so Killmonger becomes king, and he wants to send vibranium throughout the world to help oppressed people rise up and—
Wait, hold on. What are you doing?
What's up?
You're kind of developing this villain a lot.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's not really what we do here.
Right, but maybe we could, you know, try that.
You're crazy, man. All right, well, we'll give it a shot. You're nuts.
So anyway, T'Challa was being kept alive by this tribe called the Jabari. And so he's like, hey, help us come reclaim the throne. And they're like, No.
Harsh.
Yeah, and then T'Challa goes back and there's a huge fight between everyone.
Very cool.
And right when it seems like everything's gonna go wrong, the Jabari tribe shows up to help.
Oh, good thing they suddenly changed their mind at the exact right moment.
Yeah, it's a pretty sudden and great change of heart with millisecond precise timing.
And how does it end?
Well, then T'Challa and Killmonger have a CGI cat fight and Killmonger dies.
Wait, are you saying there's a final fight full of CGI where the hero fights a bad guy who has similar powers?
Yeah, I guess so.
Now that is a Marvel third act. I love it.
So you think it'll do well?
Well, we kind of have to make this movie to set up Infinity War, but based on what you've told me, no, I don't think it's going to do well at all.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch meeting. If you did, please give it a like and a share and a comment and a whatever else you can do. Just click all the buttons. Also, let me know in the comment section what other movies I should do pitches for. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next Saturday for a new pitch.
Okay, so tell me about this Thor script.
Right, so it's called Ragnarok.
Bless you.
No, Ragnarok basically means the apocalypse on Asgard.
Oh. What's wrong?
It's just that it sounds pretty dark and we're looking for kind of a lighter tone here.
Oh no, this is a straight up comedy.
It is? Yeah, literally any moment that could potentially be a little dramatic is either turned into or followed by a joke.
So you can't really take anything seriously at all.
Not really, no.
Perfect, because we have a comedy director we really want to work with on this.
Who's that?
Taika Waititi?
Bless you.
That's not... Never mind.
Oh.
So tell me about the new direction you're taking the Thor character in.
Right, so what I did was take Chris Hemsworth from Thor.
Okay.
Then I took Chris Hemsworth from Ghostbusters.
Right.
And I kind of just squished them into one character.
Amazing. So he's a lot dumber now.
Oh yeah, he's a lot dumber. Like the movie starts with him talking to a skeleton.
Oh, like as a joke?
Kinda, but there's also nobody else around, so it's like, who's he doing this bit for?
So it just comes across as dumb.
Exactly, so it's like either Thor is very stupid or it's a really lazy joke that doesn't actually make sense in the scene.
It's not the second one, is it?
So listen, before we get too deep into the story, we do have to address a big plot thread from the last Thor movie.
Loki.
Yeah, he's impersonating his father and ruling Asgard. I imagine it's gonna be pretty hard for Thor to deal with.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, what happens?
Well, Thor gets back to Asgard and he figures it out. That's like the first thing he does.
Taken care of, just like that.
So tell me about the story.
Right, so the main villain in the movie is called Hela, and she's the goddess of death.
Okay, now the main complaint about our movies is that the villains are kind of flat and one-dimensional, so what's Hela's deal?
Oh, you're gonna like this. Basically, Hela's deal is that she is evil.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she's like super evil. Very, very evil.
Sounds like the perfect villain.
Yeah, and she wants to take over Asgard, so she does. She does that.
Very evil.
And she's really strong, so she does it pretty easily, too. Like, she kills Thor's best friends like it was nothing.
Oh, but Thor's gonna be devastated.
You'd think so, but we're never gonna see him react to it, or, like, even find out.
Because that would be dramatic.
Yeah, I really can't overstate how much potential drama we're gonna avoid here.
That's what we want.
Like, in the middle of a spaceship battle, they're gonna talk about orgies.
Great.
Thor's whole relationship with Jane is like a throwaway joke now.
Oh, she was important, too.
Yeah, super important.
Wow.
Also, Bruce Banner probably dies, but it's like really funny.
Wait, Bruce Banner is in this?
Oh yeah, I didn't tell you. The Hulk is like a big part of this movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, but instead of being a scary monster, now he's like a moody baby.
A moody baby. I love it.
Yeah, he talks like one and everything.
Hey, that's what the people ask for.
Is it?
I have no idea. Maybe.
Anyway, Thor ends up on a gladiator planet, and most of the movie is them trying to leave with Valkyrie.
Who's Valkyrie?
Oh, she's actually from Asgard, and she's fought Hela before.
And she's on the gladiator planet too?
Yeah, she's the one who picks Thor up when he lands there.
That sounds pretty convenient.
Oh, it's super convenient.
Hmm.
Yeah, so they go back to Asgard, then they get a demon thing to blow the whole place up, and that's it.
That's it? Can I see that?
Sure.
Thank you. Most of these pages are empty.
Yeah, well, when I was writing, they were playing a Whose Line Is It Anyway marathon on TV, so I got a little distracted.
Great show.
But it got me thinking, why don't we just let the actors come up with a lot of this stuff and just kind of end every scene with Thor getting zapped unconscious?
Oh, improv. I love it.
Yeah, and it should be fun, too, because you know how most movies have, like, one character that's the comic relief to break the tension?
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be, like, every single character in this movie.
Everybody.
Yeah, like, there's a character who's a pile of rocks. Funniest guy in the film.
Hey, there's a page here that just says Goldblum.
Oh, yeah, there's a character called Grandmaster that I didn't really know how to develop.
Oh, so you want me to get Jeff Goldblum to come be Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah, I figured that would take care of that.
That's smart. I'll see what I can do.
Also, you'll see there's a page in there that just says the word cameo.
Yep.
I just thought it'd be really fun to have a super, super famous person show up for, like, no reason at all.
For no reason at all.
Exactly, so people in the audience will be like, hey, isn't that... Why is he in this?
I know just the guy to call.
Awesome. Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch meeting. If you did, let me know what other movies I should tackle in this format. If you're watching this on the Screen Rant Facebook page, you can hit that link to jump over to YouTube and subscribe. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can hit that subscribe button for more videos. See you next time.
Hey guys, check out this interesting video by our friends at The Richest. They're talking about the comparison between talent and training. Can you train to become an athlete, or are you simply born to be one? And remember, if you like the video, give it a big thumbs up. See you there.
So you have an Ant-Man sequel script for me.
Yes, sir, I do.
It must have been hard to find a good way to follow up the events of Infinity War.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just not gonna do it. This is gonna take place before.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
So what's the movie about?
Well, Scott is on house arrest because of what he did in Civil War, and he only has a couple days left on his sentence.
Okay.
But Hope's mom, Janet, is gonna slide into his quantum DMs.
What?
Yeah, she's been stuck in the quantum realm for like 30 years, and her and Scott have something called a quantum entanglement.
What's that?
An excuse to get Scott involved in the story.
Gotcha.
So Hope and Hank are gonna kind of kidnap Scott because they need his help with this quantum tunnel thing they're building to go save Janet.
Seems pretty straightforward. Are there any antagonists?
Oh yeah, a bunch.
Oh really, a bunch?
Yeah. Well, first there's the FBI, and they're kind of suspicious that Scott is violating his house arrest.
Okay.
So anytime they think he is, they're gonna have to rush over there, and Scott's gonna have to try to get there before them.
Why don't the FBI have someone stationed outside the house so they can just step in whenever they need to?
Because my way's funnier.
Fair enough.
And then there's a bad guy named Sonny Birch.
Oh, what's his deal?
Well, he wants to steal Hank's shrunken lab so he can sell it to a buyer for $1 billion.
Oh, a mysterious billionaire that wants to buy PIM technology. That's a great setup.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
So what's the big reveal? Who does the buyer end up being?
We're never gonna find out.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
So how does Sonny Birch find out about Hank's lab?
Well, Hope needs to buy a thing for the quantum tunnel, so she goes to see him.
What does that thing do?
It brings him into the movie.
Gotcha. And why is he in the story anyway?
Well, because I want the heroes to have car chases and fight scenes, but if they have those with the FBI, then there'd have to be consequences.
So Sonny Birch doesn't really affect the story in any meaningful way?
Other than leading a group of punching bags, no, not really.
And that's it for the antagonists?
No, I didn't even get to the main antagonist yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kind of a lot of antagonists.
Yeah.
So who's the main one?
She's this character named Ghost.
What's her deal?
When she was a kid, she was exposed to quantum energy, and now she can phase through things, and she used to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. assassin.
Wait, she's been around for years and was recruited by S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Right.
Feels like that raises a lot of questions about why we haven't seen her before in the MCU.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
Anyway, she needs to use Janet's life force to save her own life or something?
How does that work?
Exposition.
Did you just say the word exposition?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I mean, because of very complicated reasons relating to the quantum realm.
Okay.
So yeah, the characters are gonna go through a whole lot of complicated mumbo-jumbo about the quantum realm without actually saying anything about it.
Sounds pretty vague.
Oh yeah, super vague. That way I could do anything I wanted plot-wise and blame it all on the mysterious quantum realm.
I guess that's pretty smart.
Thank you. So what actually happens in the movie? Well, the characters are gonna steal this shrunken lab from each other over and over again, and once in a while they're gonna stop to shout exposition at each other.
Very cool.
And at the end, Hank is gonna go into the quantum realm to save Janet.
So what's she been up to this whole time?
Reapplying mascara and tracking down a robe, apparently.
Huh.
Yeah, and she's older now, so she has white hair.
I thought we said that time and reality works different in the quantum realm.
Yeah, well, like I said, the quantum realm works in mysterious ways, so...
But how did she survive down there? Like, what did she eat?
She fed on quantum energy or something? I don't know.
Where did she poop?
In a mysterious, quantum toilet.
Oh, mysterious toilets are tight.
But how did the quantum realm help?
Please stop asking me questions about the quantum realm.
Well, okay then.
Thanks.
So is it gonna be hard for Ghost to survive now that Janet's back?
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
How so?
Well, Janet is gonna make Ghost feel better by using her fingers.
Oh,
not like that.
Oh.
Yeah, so Janet spent so much time in the quantum realm that she evolved and she has powers now.
What kind of powers?
The kind that fix this one problem and are never spoken about again.
Well, that is convenient.
Oh yeah, so then everything kind of works out for everyone and everyone's happy.
Well, you know, after Infinity War, it's actually gonna be nice to have a feel-good Marvel movie that...
And then Hope and Hank and Janet are gonna die and Scott's gonna get caught in the quantum realm.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty messed up, but that's Thanos for ya.
So wait, the events of the movie were happening at the same time as Infinity War?
Well, this happens in a post-credit scene, and they built a smaller tunnel, so some time has passed.
So Ant-Man wasn't on house arrest during Infinity War like we said he was.
I don't know.
Fair enough. Timelines are complicated.
So what do you think?
Well, honestly, because Ant-Man wasn't in Infinity War, I think people are just gonna be super excited to check in with him.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, this could end up being one of our biggest movies of Phase 3.
Fingers crossed.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you liked that pitch meeting. If you did, be sure to give it a like and a comment, maybe share it on Facebook and Twitter and other things that you can share things on. Also, let me know in the comment section what other movies you'd like to see pitches for. And check back soon for a new one. Bye-bye.
So you have that Avengers Infinity War script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And this one's all about a guy named Thanos who's trying to gather Infinity Stones.
Oh, what's he like?
Well, let's just say if Bruce Willis was a Pokemon, this is probably what he'd evolve into.
Ooh, scary.
Yeah, this movie's gonna get real dark.
Sounds like stuff is getting serious.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you'll still have time for a quick, lighthearted Ben & Jerry's commercial, right?
Oh, Ben & Jerry's? Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great, because I already cashed that check.
I actually threw in a fair amount of jokes to balance out the darker moments.
Keeping that Marvel vibe to it, what kind of jokes are we talking?
Well, I had this idea that maybe some characters call other ones by names that aren't their real names, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, that'll be a lot of the jokes.
I'm not sure I get it.
Well, like, Tony calls this bad guy Ebony Maw Squidward.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's funny.
And Thor calls Rocket Rabbit.
Yeah, okay, he's not a rabbit.
And Tony calls Star-Lord Mr. Lord.
Uh-huh.
And he also calls him Flash Gordon.
Right.
And Thor calls Groot Tree.
All that character says is his own name.
And Star-Lord calls Thanos Grimace.
So you're, like, really leaning into this name thing.
And Spider-Man's gonna think that Doctor Strange is a made-up name.
Are people gonna notice that so many of the jokes are based on character names?
I don't think so, unless some jerk on the internet points it out.
Well, okay then. So tell me more about Thanos.
You mean Pokemon Bruce Willis?
Please stop making name jokes.
That's not his real name.
That's not his real name, yeah, I get the joke.
Well, Pokemon Bruce Willis thinks that there aren't enough resources to go around, so he wants to destroy half of all life in the universe.
Oh, wow. Does that include, like, plants and animals?
I don't know, probably not, because those are natural resources.
What if there are planets where there are just plants and animals?
I don't know, maybe half of them die in those cases?
What if there's a planet where there's, like, a million animals and one dude?
I don't know.
Would half the animals die, or would half that dude die?
I don't know.
Would his left side just go limp or something?
I mean, I'm hoping people don't think about Thanos' plan this much. It's just something he wants to do real bad.
Okay.
It's more of a shut your brain off and enjoy kind of thing.
Done and done.
Anyway, Gamora's like, well, Thanos can't get the Soul Stone because I'm the only one who knows where it is.
Okay, so she goes into hiding?
No, she goes directly to him.
What?
I mean, she tells Star-Lord to kill her if Thanos manages to grab her.
Still, that seems pretty irresponsible.
Oh yeah, very much so.
Huh.
And Thanos has the Reality Stone, so he easily grabs Gamora from the Guardians.
What does he use the Reality Stone for?
More bubbles than you'd expect.
Oh, bubbles are tight.
But essentially, he can make whatever he wants become reality, so like Drax and Mantis turn into Slinkies and stuff.
Well, that's game over, right? If he could turn everyone into Slinkies, that's game over.
Yeah, he can literally alter reality.
Wow.
But he's not really gonna do it that much.
Oh, why not?
Because.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So is Doctor Strange gonna use the Time Stone to save the day, like at the end of his movie?
No, he's not.
How come?
Because.
Fair enough.
Yeah, here's the thing. Based on the powers we've established for everybody, there's probably a lot of ways they could bring down Thanos.
Yeah, it feels like fans are gonna point all of those out online.
That's right, and that's why I included a scene I like to call Shut the Hell Up, Everyone.
Oh, I like the sound of that. What is it?
We're gonna have Doctor Strange look into the future and say that out of 14 million outcomes, he only sees them winning one.
Oh, very smart.
Yeah, so anytime someone online tries to criticize the movie,
somebody else will chime in like, well, it probably had to happen that way because that's the only way Doctor Strange saw them winning.
Exactly.
Shut the hell up, everyone.
There you go.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, some of the characters blast a hole in a ship and Ebony Maw goes flying out into space.
But then he flies back like Mary Poppins?
No, I thought of that, but then I was like, this isn't Star Wars.
Bummer.
Sorry.
So what do they do about the hole in the spaceship?
Well, Iron Man closes it up because he has this cool new thing where his suit is like basically magic.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it fixes up holes in spaceships and morphs into whatever he needs in any given situation, and it closes up massive stab wounds.
How is that possible?
Nanotechnology.
Yeah, but what does that mean exactly?
Nanotechnology.
But how exactly?
Nanotechnology. I don't know.
Okay, nanotechnology. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So what do some of the other characters do in the movie? Like, what's up with Captain America?
Oh, he has a beard now.
That's it?
Pretty much.
What about Black Panther?
He goes, Yabambe!
Black Widow?
She's gonna have this little moment where she's surprised to see that Bruce is back on Earth, even though he's the one who called them.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
She's also gonna be part of a lady fight where all the women team up to fight the female antagonist.
That's progressive, right?
Maybe.
What about Winter Soldier?
He has a new arm and he picks up a raccoon.
Hawkeye?
Not even in it.
Ant-Man?
Nah.
I gotta say, it feels like a lot of characters are getting sidelined.
Well, you asked me to shove 75 main characters into a single movie, you sick bastard.
I did do that.
I haven't slept since 2015 and I hate you so much.
Hey, throw that Tyrion Lannister dude in there. I like him.
Please stop.
Please stop.
All right, so you're gonna have everybody fight a big generic army of bad guys?
That wouldn't be an Avengers movie without that.
So what's this army gonna look like?
Well, picture what it would look like if Venom took over Goro from Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
So yeah, like a million Venom Goros.
Very cool. And how do the heroes end up stopping Thanos?
Oh, they don't.
What?
Yeah, no, he's gonna get all the stones and erase half of all life in the universe.
But it's gonna be hard to wrap up a movie if the bad guy wins.
Actually, super easy. Barely an inch.
Oh, you're disappearing. Okay, and you're gone. Okay, that doesn't feel satisfying at all. I mean, I know you're gonna come back because we have a bunch of other meetings planned. And there it is. Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch meeting. If this is your first pitch meeting, there are a lot on the channel that you can binge through.
Like, a lot.
Also, let me know in the comments section what you thought of Avengers Infinity War and what other movies you'd like to see pitches for.
Don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel, follow us on Twitter,
and check in soon for a new pitch.
Thanks for watching.